The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
Right this way, folks. You're now entering the courtroom. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in Progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, my Bella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
PFW in Progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we are like it to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork. Come, Luigi.
I love soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are all corks the same?
No. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
Eric Scalavino, from now on.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here, I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in Progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
Yeah, I'll never forget this one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Kevin, I'm a little disappointed. I figured you'd have the Saturday Night Live Tebow skit turned around for a new opening.
You should have told me that's what you wanted.
I don't think you need to be told, do you? I mean, it's pretty obvious.
And yes, if the listeners are wondering, it's a very special Tuesday show. Eric Scalavino joining us on a Tuesday.
Eric's
for now,
here.
Anyway. Not just a special Tuesday. I mean, when was the last time he started a show? He was here for the open for a full two-hour show.
For the full hour.
Even when he's here on Wednesday and Thursday, it's, you know. Yeah.
Well, in case people don't know why, today is a special Tuesday. Because of the Saturday game, the football operations moved the schedule around, so there's all kinds of press conferences and access this afternoon.
It's Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium.
Right. It's without the pizza, though.
No, the pizza will be on Wednesday.
Pizza will be real Wednesday, which is Thursday.
So despite all the access, the media won't show up till tomorrow because there's pizza.
Well, it's also later in the day, all the access.
Right.
Yeah, locker room.
Bill's not till 2. Practice 2:30. Locker room's at 4:55.
Right. So we're graced by Eric's presence for this special PFW in Progress on a Tuesday. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio at Patriots.com. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. And guys,
we have a transaction
we probably should
to
lead
report.
Off. There is some news that Jest became official.
Yeah. Andre Carter officially placed on injured reserve.
Okay.
And D lineman Cedric McKinley is now on the practice squad.
Oh, McKinley, sure.
Yeah, right.
McKinley, they call
right.
him.
Right.
Mm. 24 years old, originally signed by the Vikings as a rookie last May 2010. Released prior to the start of training camp. Re-signed by Minnesota this summer. Spent part of the season on their practice squad.
If I'm not mistaken, he's one of the guys the Patriots had in for a tryout recently, right?
Yes, a couple weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
So,
but he's on the practice squad, so
right.
there's still
practice
a roster
squad.
Move
right.
coming.
Mm-hmm.
You have to replace Andre Carter.
It is a little sad, though, Andre Carter.
A lot sad.
Out for the season.
Yeah.
Best defensive player this year, start to finish, in my opinion.
I would agree with Andy. I think he's been their best defensive player. I don't think it's like the end of the world, because we talked about this a lot. Their defense is not the strength of the team, to put it mildly. But this is a tough one. Andre Carter not only was playing very well, he was a great locker room presence, great guy to deal with for our perspective, not that that matters to anybody football-wise, but it's a tough one.
It is. So He's lost. Mike Anderson's going to have to step up.
Mark, too.
I don't know what Mark's going to do.
Yeah.
And
Mike Anderson might help the running game.
You know,
for Denver.
Could, you know, have we completely ruled out Sean Ellis, or is there a possible that...
No, he's going to play.
He might have a late season surge.
Well, he's going to
I've ruled that out, but he's going
to
play.
He's
going
to have to play.
Yeah.
But surge, yeah, no. He's not going to suddenly get five sacks in the last 2 weeks and in the postseason.
You don't think they've been saving him?
No.
No. And I do think those guys will
like
play.
Ocho.
I don't think they necessarily want to run Mark Anderson or Mike into the ground. I think they probably would prefer to keep him in the similar kind of role that he's, I think, played pretty well in as a situational rusher. And I thought this kind of a running game that they faced Sunday in Denver is more in line with what he wants to do. He wants to get upfield and penetrate. Well, against the option, that's what you're looking for. You know, penetration kills the option.
It's yeah. Not,
you know, and I thought that's what he made the big play on Tebow that you know allowed the Patriots to get the bigger to stretch the lead at the end of the first.
There was
half.
One play in particular that Anderson got upfield and he kind of didn't try to get around his guy. He trying to play it safe and you know peeked over his shoulder and I'm like, what is he doing? But, you know, that was the play where Tebow ended up running into him at the end. And, you know, he played it right. It's like there's no reason to, like, go crazy, get out of position. You know, it was more of a contained rush.
Talking about the one where Tebow sort of, like was sort of running around in the pocket.
Yeah,
and
he
then
ended
ran
up,
into.
He ran backwards and ran right into Anderson.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And when the play started, I was like, why isn't Anderson more aggressive on this play? But, you know, he played it right. And, you know, it was an interesting game, I think. From the start, I think most fans were worried. You know, you give up 167 yards in the first quarter.
That's not good.
You know, there's reason to be worried.
Rushing.
Rushing. That's what I, yeah, rushing. And I don't know
what's the pace? What's 167 times 4? They were on pace to give up some 600 yards of rushing.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a record.
Or something.
You know, so there was something wrong. And I think it was more than just, 3-4 to 4-3.
No.
You know, because 4-3 teams don't do that.
The Broncos lead the NFL, and they were past their average in the first quarter.
Guys were just out of position. They were just nowhere
some
near.
Some were in position and then got pushed out of
position.
They
couldn't make a tackle either.
Right.
Yeah, the tackle. It was terrible at the first line where Ninkovich, I thought, was the example of getting killed. And then at the second line where you could have maybe stopped him for a 6-yard gain, they were turning into 15, 20, 25-yard gains.
That fridge was off, Paul. I just plugged it in. That's why the soda's warm.
Why was the fridge off?
I don't know. Somebody unplugged the fridge.
Ooh, bitches. So,
smells and everything. You know how fridges get when.
Yeah. Because, you know, no one else. You know, has to worry about what goes on in this studio when people aren't here, right? You know, just do whatever it is you want. Yeah, that's a rant. That's a rant.
Why don't you go all John Dennis?
It's ridiculous.
Us. Yeah.
Well, it's not like anybody, you know, I have to do
who
with
are
John
you arguing
Dennis.
With?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I appreciate the sentiment. Yeah, I just want to try to focus it in.
It's not whoever the people are that are responsible for cleaning in here. It's not the first time that that's happened.
He's fighting with a.
Why? I mean, why would you? Why would you just walk into a room and say, "Here's a refrigerator. Let me unplug it." Like, where does that come into your line of thought?
Maybe we should have a sign. Do not unplug.
You need that?
I guess we do.
I feel like I'm Jerry Seinfeld now.
I'll fashion one for you.
You need that? Shut off my refrigerator.
It? No, it was on yesterday when I came into the studio. So it must have been turned off last night between when I came
into the studio. Well,
wait, between 2 and 3 in the morning?
Okay, I'll go with that.
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, blame it on EEI when in doubt.
Why would they unplug it?
Maybe they don't like you can hear it in the background.
Oh, you know, that could be, but too bad. Plug it back in when you're done, right? Anyway.
Or you know, get another studio to broadcast
or
in.
Go away and die.
Oh.
The All station. Right. I don't mean the people.
Oh, okay. I'm not advocating anybody offing themselves.
No. I mean the station, not the people individually.
But man, back to the game.
Who are you, Jabbar Gaffney?
I think
taken
to
out
me
of
the story was in this game that Denver's defense – probably wasn't as good as we were giving them credit for.
We, you.
You know, because we know
can you say we, you,
okay,
not me.
Me,
okay,
sure.
Thank you.
You know, He's unbelievable. You like her, don't
you? Yeah, I do.
I can tell.
I have a good email about you later. Which, you know, I was thinking, should I read it?
And yes,
and
you should.
Maybe I should. After you said that, I am definitely going to read it.
Because we, me,
why would you not read
didn't
it?
Say
when
the Denver
rip
defense
us,
was
you
great.
Should absolutely read those
well,
emails.
Well, it's particular ripping Andy.
That's okay.
No, but I'm saying.
Even more reason why you should read it.
There's been plenty that rip you and rip me and rip Eric, too. So why should you ever not read them?
You know, but we know that the Patriots' offense is good. And we thought maybe, you know, Denver could give them trouble, particularly at home with the rush they have. But, you know, Matt Light, another great game. And
quietly having a good season for himself.
The Denver pressure wasn't an issue for the most part. And I think that was the story. They could just simply not keep up with the Patriots.
Though when they did get to Brady, your heart was in your throat, especially with that Doomerville hit.
That one hit was a breakdown because that
was not an issue until it almost ended your season.
Yeah, he came from Brady's, you know,
from the right side.
That play, it was his blind side because he was looking the other way.
Right, but you know, it wasn't Matt Light's side; it was from the other side, and
Solder looked like he was blocking down, and should have blocked out, and. Brian Waters was blocking down too, and then realized,
somebody should have stopped the freight train that was Elvis Doomerville.
And it was as clean a hit as you could have.
Textbook. It was a textbook hit.
You know, which I hope James Harrison was watching.
That's a good point.
You know, because
that's
you
a great
hit
point.
A guy,
hard.
Level him.
Whoa, you can hit it.
But wait a minute.
Fred makes
a
great point.
You can't compare some of the hits he's had on moving targets to a guy standing there on a tee. If James Harrison took a cheap shot on that, he'd be out of the
league.
He'd be out of the league.
The hit that he took to Colt McCoy might as well
have been standing straight. No,
I disagree totally, 100%.
He was running.
He was running right toward it.
Yes,
they were running toward each other.
Target. This is a
Brady
guy standing still and looking the other way.
But
this
was as James clean a shot as anyone's ever had.
If James Harrison had a helmet-to-helmet hit on not play,
he'd be out of the league.
He should be suspended for an entire season.
He would be.
Minimum. If you get a helmet-to-helmet on a play like that on Sunday.
Yes. You have to try. You'd have.
Colt McCoy.
My point is,
had just taken the ball down to throw it. He was running with the ball, and then he stopped, pulled
okay,
up.
Okay, but
and threw
my point.
I see plenty of running guys hit, and it's not helmet to helmet.
Oh no, I'm not defending Harrison for going helmet to helmet on that particular hit. I'm just saying comparing that.
This was a dummy. This was a practice dummy.
Braid,
it was like he was practicing
like
his hit.
Dummy.
It wasn't moving. It was one of those big blue dummies.
I don't know, but okay, fine to disagree. But my point is, if Harrison had tackled McCoy the way Doomerville tackled Brady. Like Fred said, that was a textbook tackle. He put his shoulder in the midsection, de-cleated him. It was a hard hit, and it was completely legal.
Harrison
went straight for Colt McCoy's head.
See, I think Harrison would have hit Brady the same way. I don't think he would have hit him in the head.
Oh, I think
he's just standing.
I think there's a good chance.
No, I think Harrison would have hit him in the head.
Now, here's where I'm going to go on Eric's side. I think that Harrison likes to thrust his head forward in an intentional way, and I think he uses his head as a weapon.
A lot of players
Doomerville
do.
Hit with his head, too.
But
Doomerville's head was right on Brady's forearm. I actually thought there was a chance Brady was going to break his right forearm.
On his forearm, but not on his head. He wasn't going for Brady to knock him out.
I'm not saying he hit his head, but he hit him with his helmet. He put his helmet right in between his numbers.
It's kind of difficult not to put your helmet in when you're making a full tackle.
Not really. You slide your helmet to the side. It's not that hard. So if you want to get down to the basics, he could have slid his helmet to the side.
I do agree that he did hit him with the helmet, but I think that Harrison, I think there's at least a 50-50 shot that you'd be looking at that same exact hit a little bit differently if he had delivered it, because I think he would have intentionally put his head in there, because that's the way he hits.
Because he's the dumbest person ever.
Right, and this is a guy who said that whole line about, what was that all about, Fred? I just saw Barney Frank on TV. It was frightening.
I mean, he has breasts. Andy should like him. He's passionate about it.
Did he break his arm or something, too?
Do
you remember the James Harrison quote where he's talking about, you know, my knees are my livelihood, but my head, who cares?
Right.
I mean, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but basically he was saying, I don't want to rip someone's knee up, but if I give him a concussion, that doesn't affect their livelihood.
Well, you know, did you see the game last night when the lights went out and a fan ran on the field?
And
Roethlisberger goes, where's James Harrison when you need him to hit him?
Well,
so they just openly mock that he's basically a criminal who hit anybody.
Thank goodness.
Roethlisberger owed him a shot, though. Remember, didn't earlier in the season he said something about Roethlisberger that was unkind?
It's true.
They're both
idiots. But thank goodness it was a clean hit, because I think that was partly why it didn't hurt Brady as much, because it was just so clean.
I'm sure it hurt him a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm sure the next morning.
Didn't leave him injured, but it hurt him.
And they say sometimes when you don't know what's coming, you're more relaxed.
Right.
And that helps you, too. Because your body's more limp and you go with the hit rather than try to.
I think that's one of those things
like
media members make up to describe a hit. I'm not sure Brady would say that.
I guess there might be some scientific fact for that I don't know about. I don't know, but
That reminds me of my high school coach saying, would you rather be in the car doing 100 or the car doing 50 when they collide?
Neither.
What are you talking about?
But I just can't imagine that. It hurts less if you don't know it's coming. I mean, you have nothing to brace yourself for.
He did talk about, remember when I said he did the Undertaker because he immediately sat up like the Undertaker likes to do in wrestling. Yeah, right. And he said, that's just what I do. I've always been taught you have to get up before the guy who hit you on those type of hits.
See, I like the Jim Brown approach. What he used to do was always get up slow so the other guy didn't know actually hurt.
Never knew when he was hurt.
You know? So...
After every tackle, he would get up slow?
Yeah.
That was his thing.
Yeah.
He would labor to get up, and he would say they'd never know when he was actually hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a bad strategy.
I like that strategy better.
I think of those the same way I think of everything. If you're Brady or Jim Brown, doesn't matter how you get up, you're
great. Right.
It's irrelevant to the rest of it. These games are stupid. They're in your head.
Whatever
you're great.
You do, it's the right way. Otherwise, Aaron Hernandez, big game. Mm. I thought they did a pretty good job on Gronk early, and he just came through. One of you guys mentioned on the TV show today, after the catch, running, you know, yards after catch were just amazing.
You know what's kind of interesting? Sometimes you have a game where two receivers have well over 100 yards, two wide receivers. How come we've never seen Gronk and Hernandez have huge games in the same game?
Well, they've only been here for 2 years.
They've each had huge games. I think opening day was one of the days, because we talked about it, you know, I think on the show. But you're right. It's not like they play the same position.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because really they don't. Mm. They're on the field together all the time. They have plenty of opportunities to both have big games together.
And Hernandez plays the same position as Welker. We've had enough Gronk and Welker games where we could have a Gronk and Hernandez game.
Right. The opening day game might have been the first time that they scored touchdowns in the same
game. They had two, right? I think Hernandez had two. Gronk might have had one.
I think so. So, and then they both racked up some yardage in that game, too. But it's funny. They've both been over 100 yards. They've both had games where they've caught 6 or 7 balls, but very rarely do they have them together.
Mm. Yeah, just curious how that just seemed to work out.
You know what I think about the Hernandez thing is, like, 6 touchdown again, had 6 last year.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Anywhere else on the planet, he'd be having off to a great start to his career, except he trails Rob Gronkowski by, you know, 14 or 15 touchdowns over 2 seasons.
Andy, turn around quickly. Look.
Anyway,
he looks fake.
It looks like he has something on under his shirt.
Massive shoulder pads on and massive breasts.
Well, he's got a broken arm. So,
but he's also wearing the sports coat like it's a cape.
Right.
He's
right.
not putting the not broken arm.
He has a broken arm.
Well, you don't see. He's wearing panties underneath. No pants. Just anyway.
Thank God he's gone.
See, that's where you can't really make fun of him now because of other things.
Walking around in women's underwear.
Now, Paul found nothing.
I guess you can make fun of him.
Paul found nothing redeeming about the running game.
Do you like the way he pulls me all in summation?
He now uses the TV show to get some material for this show.
I was talking about the last drive. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, really? I thought you had said throughout that.
Well, you somehow got encouragement in Ben Jarvis Green Ellis averaging less than 2 yards a carry.
No. Here's what I said.
10 carries, 17 yards, and Fred thought he had a spark after Ridley came in.
Listen to me.
Where was the spark?
Listen to me. Hey. are you going to be accurate or are you just going to be a dummy?
You said spark. He ran with it.
You're just going to be a dummy.
Paul, did he not say that?
This is what I said. This is what I said. I said I thought Stephen Ridley came in and showed us some things. Yeah, I thought he played really well for the runs that he averaged, 7 yards a carry or something like that?
Ridley?
Yeah.
No, but
he did okay.
Yeah, he did well. And I thought, Green Ellis had some runs before that, and then he had some runs after Ridley came in. I thought he looked noticeably running harder after Ridley came in, and I thought maybe, he saw what the kid was doing. And said, I better pick it up here. I thought he ran harder after. Now, the results weren't that great. But I thought he ran harder after Ridley came in the game.
I thought it was no different.
Yeah, I didn't see any difference.
Well, seeing it live, maybe I have a different perspective.
You have a different perspective. But
I read this a lot.
Nothing to do with location.
I read that he looked like a plow horse. He just didn't seem like he had it. I read one comment looked like he was running in quicksand. I read another comment that looked like he had a snowplow attached to him. I mean, I had read a lot of negative comments from him in the game. So that's why when you said that you thought he ran with a spark after Ridley came in, I was wondering where that came from, because it didn't seem like. I mean, he was one of the guys that I put in the read and react as one of the three down guys on a game like this. And when you win a big road game like that, it's hard to find three guys to put down arrows on. I thought he was an easy one. That was one of the ones that stuck out to me right away. I thought they had a third and inches where he got stuffed. Subsequently, I feel like they felt like they couldn't run him again on fourth and inches. They had to throw to get it. I thought on the goal line, they went with some quarterback sneaks. I don't necessarily think that's against Benny. I thought that was intentional to try to get Brady touchdowns to match Tebow's rushing touchdowns. But I just didn't feel like, even on that last drive, when Denver scores to get within 11 and the Patriots match it to get it back to 18, it was all throwing. And it was hurry up again. You know, most of the drive was the time that was wasted was when the Patriots finally got to the 1 yard line and they basically took their time.
Well,
I
thought Woodhead ran well when given the opportunity.
Woodhead had a good game, I thought. Yeah. I thought he played very well. I thought he was the guy that you've been talking about all year, I thought, this week.
Yep. That touchdown was his best run of the year, probably. That happened like 10 times last year.
Yeah, he showed the explosiveness, I thought, that we saw on a consistent basis last year, I thought, all day on Monday.
Well,
whether
it's all three of them or, you know, any combination of that, they're going to need some running coming up. I thought Kevin Faulk, it was interesting. I thought early, he didn't look too good, and we didn't see too much of him from that time on.
He had one carry for 1 yard.
Yeah.
And he had the first pass of the game thrown in his feet, and I thought he intentionally dropped a pass later in the game.
Ridley was 11 for 65, 6 yard average.
6 yard average.
Yeah. With a 24 yard run.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
No, he ran hard, and it was encouraging, you know, that he got back in there, and I want to use him again. I want to see more of him against Miami. Miami has a decent defense. If he can run well against them, then okay. Mm. You know, that's telling me something. We're not going up against a porous defense next week.
Plus, he's the answer. I said this on the TV show. I'm kind of giving up on Benny for the year. I think on your goal line, I still like him. If he wants to punch it in, that sure-handed, no fumble, nose for the end zone. But if you're going to have a running game of some sort, and I don't really include Woodhead because I consider him part of the passing game to some
he's
degree.
He's Kevin Faulk
to change
to me.
Of pace.
Okay. Yeah.
Ridley has to be the guy, in my opinion.
I want to move to what you just talked about with Miami because I want to try to avoid – this is rare for me. I want to try to avoid a confrontation next Tuesday. I'm going to tell you right now.
We're going to have it this Tuesday.
Yes, right now. I'm going to tell you. No, because I think anybody can tell you after the fact and be snooty about it. Oh, yeah, no one thought that was going to. I'm going to tell you before the fact.
Yeah.
You're doing the same thing with the Miami defense that you did with the Denver defense. Okay. You're overrating it, okay? I watched.
Or maybe
this.
I'm underrating the Patriots offense.
Well, the Patriots offense is excellent. I don't think it's possible to underrate that.
Okay.
The Patriots have one of the best two or three offenses in football.
Okay.
So if that's underrating it, I'm sorry. But I think you feel like that, right? You agree with me on that?
Sure.
Denver, I thought, beat up on a lot of bad offenses. That's exactly what Miami has done recently. They've played a lot of bad offenses, and they've had some, you know, pretty impressive numbers where I think they had a three-game stretch where they allowed less than 10 points against Washington with John Beck. I think they played Buffalo in one of those games when Buffalo has been a wreck. They've beaten up on some bad teams. This is still the defense that allowed 600 yards and 517 passing to the Patriots on opening day.
I think they've improved since then.
Of course they've improved because much like the Patriots defense, you couldn't get any worse.
Okay.
So you've improved. But
what's that about the Patriots defense that suddenly can't stop the run in addition to stinking against pass? I think they found a way to get worse.
When the Patriots go out and score 38 again, I'm just telling you right now, don't be surprised, because this is what the Miami defense. I mean, Philadelphia went in there and shredded them 2 weeks ago when Michael Vick came back.
He silenced you. You're just sitting there.
I'm letting him finish.
When they play a good offense, they're going to give up a lot of points. This is not a very good defense. And I know I'm not a big slave to the numbers. I know a lot of people say, well, you know, the points allowed, that's all that matters. No, it matters who you play and how you stop them and when you stop them. And The Dolphins have beaten up on some bad offenses, and they've made their numbers look great. I think they're like fifth in scoring defense. You really think this defense is really any better than anybody else's?
No, but
fifth in scoring defense?
I think
they're terrible.
I think it's a decent defense.
I don't think they have any better shot of stopping a good offense than the Patriots do. And you know what I think of the Patriots defense.
Okay, but I think that of the defenses in the NFL, which there aren't a lot of good ones this year, believe it or not, I think they're one of the better ones.
Believe it.
You know,
I think the Jets have probably given up 100 more points than Miami. Who do you think has a better defense?
Well, I mean, the Patriots have given up less points than the Jets.
Yeah,
did you know that?
By like 10.
But still, I mean,
Brady's responsible
but,
for
but
that.
But you, you know, if you can't go by the numbers, you can't go by the numbers.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Don't go by the numbers. That's
right.
What I'm saying. Watch and tell me who you think is better. I think Miami's defense is comparable to the Patriots. But the numbers would tell you that Miami is light years ahead of the Patriots.
So right now you would take, you know, Belichick's the same, but you would take the Patriot defense over the Miami defense?
I don't think there's a whole lot of difference. I think there's some individual. Cameron Wake I would take from the Dolphins defense.
What about?
I would take Vontae Davis from the Dolphins defense. Maybe Carlos Dansby.
I think as NFL defenses
go. Kendall Lankford, Paul Soliai, I mean, any of these guys like your Bell?
A good player.
I'd take Jeremiah Bell.
I'd take Jeremiah Bell just because we don't have any safeties.
You could take Jeremiah.
I like guys that actually play the position safety.
Sean Smith.
I think forget about numbers, the eye test. I think you got Baltimore, Pittsburgh, the 49ers in the top tier of defenses in the league. And then I think in a second tier, I think the Miami Dolphins fall in.
Yeah, I don't.
And do you have the Patriots at the bottom?
I would take a team like Cincinnati. Oh.
You don't have the Patriots at the bottom?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I would take a team like Cincinnati in that you know, second level. Some other teams like maybe
Houston when they have
Houston.
No, that's fair.
Houston,
yep,
definitely.
Houston, absolutely.
I even think Green Bay. I'm not a slave to the numbers. I just watch the players play, and I think they're a pretty good defense.
From what? Why do you say that?
Because when they have to stop another team, they do.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's why the other day when their offense didn't move the ball, they still had a chance to win. Because that was the kind of game it was, and they gave their offense a chance to win.
Well, it's Kansas City, Paul.
Uh-oh.
Tick, tick. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was Kansas City on the other side of the ball, too.
All right.
And they stopped. They don't have a good defense.
Okay. That's going to be nice. The AFC West coming down the end. Kansas City playing the Raiders and,
Why is that going to be nice?
It's just Kyle Orton gets to go in at the end and, you know, see
are they
if
playing
he can
the
beat
Broncos
the Broncos
again?
Well, it just
last
shows
game.
You that,
last game.
It just shows you how bad Tyler Pelko was.
Yeah. So that's gonna.
You think the Broncos win that division? They have to play the Bills this week, right?
Is that right?
How does it unfold? How does San Diego make the playoffs?
They need the Broncos to lose.
Need the Broncos to lose.
I'd be watching if I were Patriots fans.
They need them to lose out?
I think they need them to lose out.
Oh, then forget it. They're not going to lose them all. They're not going to lose both games.
Because that San Diego team still scares me.
I thought they could only lose one. I thought San Diego won the
They're starting to get clicking. They scored,
34 more points. Don't hold me on that.
Malcolm Floyd is healthy. Vincent Jackson. Ryan Matthews starting to run 3 straight 100-yard games. All of a sudden, Rivers has been he pulled a Brady. He had 17 picks like a month ago, and I believe he's still on 17 picks. All of a sudden, he's looking like Philip Rivers. I would be scared to death if they came to Gillette Stadium.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's take Kara, who's been holding on. She wants to talk to Andy. Hey, Kara.
Hello.
Hello.
What's up?
How are you guys this morning?
Good, Fred. This is
doing great.
Kara. She's a finalist, one of the 32 finalists in the NyQuil DayQuil Super Fan Contest. She's trying to win a trip to the Super Bowl, and she needs Patriots fans to help her. She wins the contest by hits on the Facebook page where they can vote for her, as well as tweets that include her hashtag.
Okay.
Right. On the NyQuil Facebook page, so it's facebook.com/NyQuil, and then... right there on the left side of their page, you'll see MDF contest, and that's where, if you click on that, you'll see all the 32 fans from all the other teams. And if you click on my profile, you'll see the 4 different challenges, and you vote on each challenge. And that's how I get votes.
Kara, I'm going to help you hype yourself. I know our listeners. I know what they like. Kara's kind of cute, so go to the Facebook page and look for Kara and click on her and vote for her.
Now, Kara, are you the lone Patriot representative, or are there other Patriots fans trying to do this?
It's just me out of the whole nation. So
okay. So this,
go vote for me.
That's cool. How did you get this? How did you become the representative for the Patriots?
I just saw an ad for it on, I guess, NyQuil started it last year. Last year was their first year of holding this little contest. And a Saints fan won last year. And I saw the advertisement on Facebook for this season. So all you had to do was submit a photo of yourself as a fan in action. And that's how they picked the 32 finalists, was just off of photos and your battle cry that you submitted with your photos.
So you didn't have to sleep with anyone? I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding.
Jeez, bro.
You're such a moron.
Actually, Andy conducted an exhaustive search.
Now, I hear you're a big Tom Brady fan.
I'm a huge Tom Brady fan.
Like, how huge? Probably,
like, the biggest Tom Brady fan. Like, I probably drive everybody crazy just
what do you
talking
think?
About him and all the hype about him and, you know.
What do you think about Giselle?
She's,
don't care for
she's
her.
Pretty, but
yeah, she's nothing special, is she?
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm pretty cool, but I'm sure Tom knows what he's doing. So
all right,
I'll give him some credit.
So now, what's the actual URL again for the Facebook page so people can go right to it and help you out?
It's www.facebook.com/NyQuil.
NyQuil, okay.
And what's the exact hashtag you need tweeted?
It's #VixMDF New England fan.
Okay.
So Vix, most dedicated fan, New England fan.
So #VixMDF New England.
All right, Kara.
New England fan.
New England fan.
New England fan.
And how do you know how you're doing? Are we close? We need a late push here. What's going on?
I definitely need a late push. I feel pretty confident that I'm doing okay on the Facebook vote. Facebook is 70% of my total.
Okay.
Twitter is only 30%, and I don't know how the Bucks guy has 71,000 tweets. I think his mom just sits on the website
wow.
and like, tweets his hashtag. Yeah.
Well, we have an update on the blog, right, that we put up last week.
Yep.
And it was in the last issue of Patriots Football Weekly in the
Indeed.
First down section. So hopefully that'll help you.
You guys are so awesome.
Now, everybody hearing this tweet. Everybody that's listening to this, tweet. We have a lot of listeners.
That's
if
right.
you all send one tweet with the hashtag VixMDF New England fan,
you'll have over 100,000.
Right
that's
there.
Right.
Boom. 100,000 hits. So everybody do your job. Help out another Patriots fan. Get to Indy.
Right.
Right. Right. Let's show the other fans and the other teams what's up.
Who's
that's
boss?
Right.
Just like we're going to do in the playoffs in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And maybe you'll have a chance to watch your boy Tommy.
Tom Brady in person.
Tommy.
Yeah, maybe.
Tommy boy.
I am hoping so. That would be a dream come true.
All right, Kara from Utah. Good luck.
Enjoy.
Good luck, Kara.
Good luck, Kara.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. See ya. I still say she probably slept with someone.
Anyway. Probably her husband.
webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398. Hey, we have another caller with some news. And from the Pikes Peak Pats fan club. Ann, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Good. Yes, a great weekend, wasn't it?
I'm telling you, I'm still on a high.
Yeah, you did an unbelievable job. Around 500 people at your party.
And it doesn't sound like you've ever had a bad day.
No, she said she was high.
And she got high.
Oh, I've had plenty of bad days. At one point, my kids were all teenagers, so. Yeah, it was an unbelievable, unbelievable weekend.
Sure was.
It was just beyond all expectations. The party at Kate Mullins was superb. And you guys, thank you so much for coming out, for everybody that came out.
Oh, our pleasure. Thanks for all the gifts, too.
I'm sorry, what?
All the gifts. Thanks for all that. That was wonderful. I'm sorry, what?
Oh, good.
Yeah, you weren't there, Andy.
I know, and I do have to apologize to Paul and Andy because...
No, you don't.
I was supposed to call in on the pregame social, and I set my alarm on my iPhone, and just when the alarm went off, Mr. Kraft was coming over to our tailgate, so I couldn't call in.
Oh, so you picked Robert over us? I see where your loyalty lies.
I see. And just so you know, I hope you didn't go back and listen to the podcast because there was about 7 minutes of just blank dead air that was supposed to be where you were calling in.
Don't listen to him, man.
Don't do that to me.
Don't listen to these clowns.
Oh, but I got Wes Welker that shirt, so we'll help out your friend there.
Oh, and thank you.
And
so much.
Stacy will get you that Tom Brady jersey that you guys raffled off, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. We raised $1,600 in about an hour selling tickets.
And that goes all to the Fort Carson Fund
Family
for Needy Families.
Fund for
right.
Deployed families.
Right.
Yep.
Nice. Well, that's awesome. And congratulations. Great weekend.
Well, I just one thing, and I know my husband's going to say, Ian, they're trying to get you off the air. Will you shut up? But anyway, did you hear what else happened at our tailgate?
No.
Okay, so
Eric
Mr.
meet a girl?
Kraft comes out.
No.
Mr. Kraft comes out, which, of course, everybody's mental over and going crazy. He sees our MHK patches. You know how we had our own MHK patches?
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, he got so soaked up. I'm standing up here. I'm ready to cry. Yeah. You know, he was like so touched by it. It was just wonderful.
Yep.
And then he tells us that he had been in the locker room and had shown Bill Belichick and the guys the picture from the night before at Kate Mullen.
Yeah.
And he said to the crowd, and Tom knew I was coming out here, and he told me to tell you, tell them you're going home with a win.
All right.
The crowd went mental.
I love it.
Wow.
So he leaves. It's like everyone's like, oh, my God, oh, my God. We're all so excited. 20 minutes, half hour later, Stacey James comes back again, and my husband is standing at the little gate and says, oh, you're back. And he goes, yeah, where's Ian? Jonathan came out.
Nice.
So Jonathan comes to the thing. He had been in the locker room when his dad came back telling all about the crowd that was out there. And Jonathan's like, well, I'm going to go out and say hi. So he grabs a couple of hats from the locker room, and he proceeds to come out, gets to talk to the crowd. By now, everyone is like lunatics. Like, who's next? Who's next? You know?
Right.
It was just fabulous. A fabulous, fabulous weekend. And the win just put the frosting on the cake.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations, Ann. You run an unbelievable fan club out there. So,
yeah, it's a great group of people. It really is. We had a fabulous time. And I just wanted to say thanks to you guys so, so much.
All right.
Looking forward
Ann
to the next
Stone
one.
From Colorado Springs and the Pikes Peak Pats.
It's easy for you to say.
Right.
Pikes Peak Pats.
Got it. So it was great. The party the night before was really, really cool.
Pats Peak Pike or something.
Pats Peak.
So
that's up in New Hampshire.
I did have some of the kisses. I said, no, that's a local ski lodge.
Yeah, did she make all those little Hershey kisses by hand?
Somebody
spent
a lot of time.
Because I'll tell you, as far as bad jobs go, that's a terrible one, having to glue little stickers to the bottom of.
You know, they had the Hershey kisses, and on the bottom of each one was a sticker with a different Patriots, you know, like message.
Some said, welcome
PFW. Yeah. 2011
and
tailgate.
I don't know if you guys saw the picture. Somebody baked a cake.
Did you have some? It looked good.
No,
they saved it for the tailgate the next morning.
It was unbelievable.
I wanted to dig into
it. It was a replica of Gillette Stadium.
Yeah.
And
there's a picture of it on the blog.
Yes. Unbelievable. And Eric met a girl. No? Oh, okay. It would have been a perfect weekend, except for that, right?
Even close?
No, there was,
anybody?
Didn't you... Some girl from Utah.
You met a sister or something last time we had
these
gatherings.
The guy from California.
Oh right,
right.
Tried to pimp off his sister on
right.
You.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So who was this lucky lady that you'll never talk to again?
No, seriously,
who was
it?
Yeah, too
who
long
a
story. Some girl from Salt Lake,
Utah.
Yeah, was she there with like
the Utes?
Anyone
with,
else?
Yeah.
Part
with,
of the crew.
Her sister and her sister's husband, her friend and her husband. There was a bunch of them.
She cute?
Yeah, not bad.
Good to go.
All right, Andy.
Wait, nod.
Apparently not.
Winks as good as a nod.
Winks as good as a nod, right.
Because Eric continues his Zurich spell.
That's the word of the day today, yes.
I heard it last night in Jackson's book.
The woman Eric was with was so old, she
a
was.
To, no. A to Z book. A to Z book, and X was not the usual xylophone.
It was Zoo?
X.
That's
oh,
I'm sorry.
It was my Zurich.
My bad. That's up there with
Zurich.
Four words. Mayo.
Well, it does sound like it would be a Z. But
yeah, I'm still a moron.
Let's go back to the A.
Yeah, where's Brooklyn Matt?
508-298-0398.
Because I didn't argue and say it wasn't dumb, which is what you would have done.
Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Gentlemen, what's happening?
Now, this is the East Coast Christian, right? Not the West Coast Christian that we've added lately?
There's a West Coast Christian?
Christian, correct.
No, we have a WCC.
Oh, we do.
Mountain Time
we have a West Coast TIAN.
The guy goes
really?
By WCC.
Really?
Yeah, you're ECC.
You didn't hear that, Christian? You didn't listen to the pregame social this week?
I wasn't able to. I'm sorry.
You're dead,
son of a bitch.
You're dead to me.
Sorry. I had a wake to go to. Computer sex.
There you go. I just continue my stretch. Thank you. Sorry to hear that.
No, thank you. That's okay. Thank you. What a weekend. I mean, everybody who was supposed to lose lost. So
maybe the best weekend the Patriots have had in a couple of years. Mm.
I mean, it was something. And last night just capped it off with Pittsburgh.
That's right.
Now
all they have to do.
Going down.
All they have to do is beat Buffalo and Miami and Buffalo and
take
one.
Care of business. And you're in the
not
driver's
only
seat.
You got all of the teams in the AFC to lose to put you at the top by yourself, number one seed. But even if you cared about those things, Green Bay losing, so they're not going to go 16-0.
Right. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I
so we can keep the banner.
Yeah, we can keep exactly.
Fred doesn't have to take the banner down in the middle of the night.
You can still take the banner down.
And, you know, there is a DVD, the 21 DVD, which makes a great stocking stuffer.
Can read about it in his edit letter. The guy gets 4 inches of space and he uses a quarter of it to pimp a DVD.
Well, I think people forget, you know, that was the other part of the Packers losing. It wasn't just 16-0.
I was the godfather
of
the bus, by the way.
It was the preservation of the 21-game win streak.
We didn't get to the end, though.
Of which there is a DVD available, so you can relive that whole win streak.
The glory of it all.
Right. Great DVD.
So, we're just, Christian, you're one of our emotional listeners at times. So I want to know how the first quarter resonated with you on the run defense and then the idea that they made a couple adjustments and shut them down and held them to 85 yards the rest of the way.
I thought they were going to get rolled. it was 160 yards in the first quarter or something.
Yep.
Like you just said, whatever their average was, they went over at Denver, and I'm like, they're going to get rolled. I go, they're going to control the ball. They're going to keep Brady on the sideline. That was my biggest fear. And then I guess they went from a 4-3 to a 3-4, and they made a switch, and it was all about spacing and gap control and all that. And
McGahee got hurt.
I
don't want to, you know, throw a wrinkle in their loop.
They fumbled twice.
Listen, we know what the pass defense is, but I guess if there's anything that worries me going forward, it's these past two games against Washington and against Denver, that they were able to run the ball at will. And that worries me, because if you go up against a team like a Baltimore or, even like you said, Andy, San Diego, they are clicking.
Yep. Suddenly and Ryan Matthews is running for 100 a week.
Even Houston.
Against that defense.
See, I wasn't worried about Houston because I wasn't worried about Arian Foster killing them.
Right. Well, now. Or even Pittsburgh.
Now
you know,
am.
We're dismissing Pittsburgh because Roethlisberger's hurt.
Yeah.
Well, now instead of maybe throwing it 50 times, maybe they rush it 50 Mendenhall. Times and do the old school, 5 years ago
Ridiculous.
Steelers. How demoralizing would that be if you lost to them in two very different ways in the same season? Mendenhall. Mm.
Yeah,
Andy would be insufferable.
Yeah. You know, he has like one run over 20 yards a year.
That's ridiculous. He's not had a great year.
No, he has not. See, I can be honest.
But hey, you get that first round bye. I know last year everybody keeps pointing to that, but I'll take that.
Last two years.
Well, the bye he's talking.
Yeah, I know, but still, the home field is not a home field advantage unless you win. Home and
Yeah.
That's well said by Eric right there. It's only an advantage if you win.
That's a good. It's not cheating.
You guys are the best.
All right.
I'll talk to you the rest of the week. Have a good holiday.
Okay. You too, Christian. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christianmas.
Christian calling in.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Web radio.
See, they banned Santa Claus in Saugus.
I like having Eric around for the whole show.
Banned Santa Claus in Saugus.
What?
Yes.
Are you serious?
He's officially a religious symbol or whatever, and you can't.
He's completely the opposite of a religious symbol.
Totally.
He's a pagan symbol.
Right. They don't get it. Saugus, you North Shore people, turds.
They
oh, my
banned
God.
Him. That's kind of
banned him.
So what do they decorate the season with?
I don't know. Christmas trees, until that offends somebody.
I mean, Santa.
Whoa, sorry. Trees.
You can't call them Christmas trees.
Decorated trees. Pine trees.
Right. Santa Claus is more of a economic symbol than anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think the Christ went out of Christmas when people started pepper spraying each other to get an Xbox.
You see him build it. I think the Christ went out of Christmas.
Every once in a while, you get them out without stumbling, and they're very good. You deliver.
All right. This is this email about Andy that I wanted to read. It's from Rich. And
not my brother?
Hey,
no,
Dick.
No. And
preemptive strike there.
He says,
can I make a request before you read this?
Yeah.
Can you allow Fred?
That's my request.
I will allow Fred to read it.
My mic is off.
And then you can yell at the guy.
My mic is off.
All right, turn it off.
Because you know what's going to
happen. Step away from the mic.
Move the mic away from your face. Right? Every third word, it's going to be this.
Oh, I know. Well, we haven't even started making fun of the Wilson throw a dart index yet. You know, Green Bay lost and they went up. But
San Francisco won and went down.
Hey, don't give it away.
It gets posted on Wednesdays, people.
Just because we shot a TV show today that airs on Thursday.
Oh, I'm
zip
sorry.
It.
I'm sorry.
They're joking.
Anyway, so this is Rich, and he starts
theoretically.
He says, last week Paul picked the Titans to cover, then added, but as a Pats fan, I'm cheering for the Colts so that Caldwell keeps his job and they'll suck again next year. Good job. Finally, a poke at the irony of Andy. Andy is the guy who insists that football cannot be analyzed with a spreadsheet. Andy also has more ego than even he knows what to do with. Andy's football picks have been so horrible over the years that he now resorts to a spreadsheet, which uses formulas he can't even understand. That's irony, folks. The same guy that suggests we sell out and draft Golston Quinn every year. Thanks, Andy. Andy is the same guy throwing logs on the fire, getting people to talk about losing Belichick as our GM. Patriots fans should consider drinking their own pee before taking advice from this character. He knows nothing.
Boy, that took an ugly turn.
Yeah.
And nothing will change, Fred, until he accepts it.
Escalated quickly.
Only then can he improve, and he can. He is a great character for the show and does outstanding on the roster report and pregame social because he doesn't have to be right about anything. I feel really badly for the poor people following him on Twitter. It's a shame. Andy has been very disappointing, given that he is capable of much better, but seems to like to pat himself on the back more than anything else, except for maybe stinking up the booth with farts. Pomposity, that's you, Eric.
Oh, okay.
Picked the
thought we were still on Eric.
Can I turn my mic on now?
Picked the Broncos, and I hope that players dunked him in shaving cream on the plane back because he deserves it. Perhaps Eric could get some reps on the pregame social and maybe let Paul smell the air in playoff country.
I don't think there's any reason to go that far.
Overall, Eric's picks had been good lately. All season when picking the Texans, he would say, I'm not buying into the Texans yet. This past week, he said he is finally buying in. He waited all year, put all his chips on them.
That was like the Falcons last year. I was doing the same thing.
This is answering a long question that we've had on this show. And do people actually listen to the picks segment?
Well,
I guess they do.
A couple more paragraphs,
okay.
That's all. Fred, on the other hand, accurately selected the Panthers to win outright. Also, Fred was the only one to pick the Chargers, to which Andy responded, that's wishful thinking. A little surprising that the raping and pillaging this season has come from one Pete the Meat Shepherd.
Why? Because he picked the Patriots every week and yelled at you for not doing it?
He was very quick to disregard the total yard stat regarding our D in weeks 1 and 2, also pointing out that the Packers were right next to us in that category.
I thought we disregarded it.
Pete's picks have been especially awful of late, though he picks the Pats to win and cover every week. What a great virtue. Also, Pete picked the Jets to lose in his pick of the week. Fred, you should be taking notes. Pete told us that Steve Smith said that Newton is a way better quarterback than Tebow. Correct. Tebow should have had a pencil and notepad to take notes of what the best quarterback in football does to win. Tom Brady wrote to you in Kirschwords stating we're going to score 50 today. That was me. All right. And then finally, very short, Paul seems to have turned a corner lately with less negativity, which was necessary and good. Eric should be forced to wear that throwback jersey he got to work and then wear it to the Belichick press conference. Maybe then he'll say his name. So there you go. That's Rich, who had something to say there.
I thought that was a good email. He had more than something.
Very accurate.
I think he summed up Andy quite well.
Absolutely.
I actually think he did too.
More concerned with patting himself on the back than anything else.
Yeah, it's true.
I thought it was a fine email. I don't have much to question in there.
I would wonder why Andy doesn't feel it necessary to be right on the pregame social.
Yeah, I know, right?
I kind of think we're giving people some analysis of the game.
The only place he said Andy's good on the show and the podcast and pregame social, he's not very good on Twitter. Well, that's fine.
Well, you're not good in the show either.
Oh, I thought I was a great character for the show.
On the roster report, but you're worried about being right all the time. So, yeah, I don't think you caught a lot of the negativity. You want us to rehash it?
He turned off his mic and his ears.
And his ears, right.
And by the way, if you didn't make him turn off his mic, there's no way he would have gone past the first sentence without saying something.
All right, webradiopatriots.com, 508-298-039 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to a caller before we take a break. Jeff in Vegas. Hey, Jeff. How much money are you swimming in this week? Jeff?
Drop?
I think that was me. Sorry, Jeff.
Yeah, it was an accident.
That was me. All right. Can we take a break, Kevin? All right, we'll take a break, and we'll be right back.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Screw you, bitch.
All right, guys. Ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't it?
No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Be an MVP this holiday season and give the Patriot fan on your list a gift from the Patriots Pro Shop. The Patriots Pro Shop and PatriotsProShop.com have the widest selection of authentic Patriots merchandise on the planet. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats, t-shirts, autographed memorabilia, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. or 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos, Andy was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter of
fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, Josh from Washington, D.C. writes in. He says, I just thought I'd take a second to let you all know how influential you really are. As of now, since Kara called in and you all instructed your listeners to tweet her hashtag, exactly 7 people have done so. Not so impressive. Come on, people. Actually, most people download us, so the big effect will be tonight.
That's right.
You know, it'll be the overnight ratings that really help her.
Yeah, Mr. Snarky.
Just before the break, I mistakenly dropped Jeff from Vegas off the Ace Ticket Hotline. But he's back now. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you? And doing swimmingly out here in Vegas.
Good. Is that it?
And for the result of that game, you had to look no further than the Wilson Hart Power Index to know the Pats would win big over Denver.
Sure. That's true.
Hey guys,
they were my lowest ranked 8-win team. They were, 22? It was a blowout city. Blowout city, baby.
Precisely correct. And as strippers alluded to in real time on Twitter, I mean, say what you will about me and my self-promotion, but this Kara girl, what are her qualifications to be fan of the year?
She entered the contest.
And they picked her.
Did you enter?
I love it. That was tremendous radio earlier, by the way.
Oh.
Anyhow, onto our content. Say what you will about Tom Brady, that he's a girly man, that he's a metrosexual, that Giselle's running the show with his hair, the Uggs, the dancing video, the water slide picture. But the way the way he pops up, not getting the parking spot, not working out in the off season anymore, but the way he pops up after those hits, the one Sunday, reminded me of that one his rookie year at Buffalo when his helmet got knocked off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So say what you will, he's a leader of men, he's a fiery competitor, he's cool under pressure, and he's a natural-born leader. So props to Brady. He's the guy you want.
Absolutely. He's our guy.
He was the man on the field. He showed Tim Tebow what a leader and a great quarterback is.
Yep.
Agreed. And, you know, it's funny how, like, the best record in the AFC in a lot of years, the league, seemed to follow Brady and Belichick around, even with all the personnel misreads.
Right. Okay, Jeff, is that it?
Last thing, onto being the number one seed, it's actually meaningless because until they win that first playoff game, all the haters, all the, Shannon Sharps, all the Keyshawns are going to come out and bet against New England, whomever they play then on the weekend of the 15th. So, dig in for the haters because everyone's going to be picking against them that first playoff game.
I hear you. Okay. No, it's a good point. All right. Thanks, Jeff.
I don't know if Denver, like, they could be the fourth division winner, right?
Right.
They win on wild card weekend, they come here, right?
Right.
You're the one seed.
No, but
if the three seed wins.
The
three seed wins.
No, if the chalk holds, they come here.
Mm-hmm. But I think the greater point.
I don't think anybody on the planet would pick the Broncos.
Not one person. Not one person
maybe,
would pick Denver in Foxborough.
No, but the bigger point is the Patriots have to win that game. You can't do one and done again.
You're right.
It doesn't matter who it is. Cincinnati, Ball, it doesn't matter who
but
it is.
Right. Saying,
you can't do one and done.
I agree with you, Fred, and I know what your bigger point is. I'm 100% with you. But
if it were Denver, I don't think
if they
would
played
pick
a team like if the Jets came in again, if the Jets are the sixth seed and
that'd
they come here,
that would be a toss up.
Some people will pick the Jets.
Yep.
And that
if Pittsburgh came here, people would pick Pittsburgh.
If Pittsburgh ends up being the five, which they are right now, they would probably come here if they win and three wins.
Right.
The reason why I'm talking a lot about the six is because I think Houston's going to end up the three, right?
Mm-hmm. Looks like it.
So if Houston ends up the three, I think they're a prime candidate to lose to whoever they play because of their quarterback situation. So six very well could be coming to Foxborough, as was the case last year when the Jets as the six came to Foxborough. So I think that's I think there'll be some people that pick the Jets in that game. Nobody would pick Denver.
I don't think they would.
Nobody.
What does that look for?
I literally think nobody would pick Denver. Zero people would pick Denver.
Some of the religious wackos would.
Now, I think there were a couple of people who picked Denver this week in Denver, and that was a large reason for the reason their understanding is it was in Denver and they had everything rolling. Well, now you saw how it unfolded. And everything that people thought that Broncos would not be able to keep up offensively. I don't think the Broncos are capable of playing offense
right.
at a level to score many points,
and many more points
than they scored.
The other thing about the Broncos, it's not like, well, it's tough to beat a team twice in a season, but the Broncos don't have much to adjust to. Like, they can't make adjustments because that's what they do, and if they can't do it, it's over.
But they could make adjustments on defense, I would think.
No, but like Pittsburgh, maybe now they can run the ball, you know, as opposed to passing. I don't think there's a lot of different dimensions to the Denver offense.
Yeah, I think that defense was their main problem, right. though, in the game. And if they could do something to get the game instead of, you know, up in the 30s, maybe down into the 20s, then they would have had a chance to win it. I don't think they could do that.
Yeah.
I don't think they're good enough to do it. But, you know, they obviously took Gronk out of the game. Maybe they spread it out a little bit and try to do a little bit, pay more attention to Hernandez.
Fred, you just said it's hard to beat somebody twice in a year. You made me think last night I was watching SportsCenter and they had an interview with Nick Saban. I think it was Tom Rinaldi. And he said, you know, obviously there's great challenges trying to beat somebody for the second time in one season. And Nick Saban goes, now, is there actual data that backs that up, or are you just throwing that out there? Is that one of those things you media guys do? And Rinaldi goes, well, yeah, you kind of put me on the spot there. He had nothing. He had not a single comeback.
I hate Nick Saban, but I love that because I will take being the better team every time. I would much rather be the team that won the first game, two games, three games, whatever many times you play a team in the season. I want to be the one that won the previous games and then have to beat them again.
Right.
I'll take my chances because that means probably I'm better.
Right.
And I'll take my shot.
Warren from London.
What's up, lad?
Hey, guys, and Kevin. I watched the game having never seen Tebow play one down. My thoughts were that he's an okay quarterback. However, he will never be a good passer as he doesn't have the vision a top quarterback like Brady has. He needs longer to see open players than a top player like Brady. Tebow time happened in the first quarter. I think the Saturday Night Live skit was the top of his fame. He will be an okay quarterback, nothing special. I put a lot of the comeback down to the special teams rather than the defense. This D is shocking and will always be that. Denver also has too many errors. The penalties killed their running game. Tell Kevin I'll buy lunch if he needs someone this week.
Kevin, take note. I love Warren.
That Saturday Night Live skit was...
It was pretty good.
That was really good.
But I was right. A couple people were offended on the blog. There were a couple comments.
Oh, yeah.
An Edwin guy and some other, you know...
You're always going to get that element.
But I thought that was just so funny, so over the top. Like, I didn't think anybody could not find that funny, but some people did.
What, because of the Belichick reference?
No,
just
about
the
God,
religious aspect
some,
of it.
Oh, come
just
on.
Everything.
Saturday Night Live's done that a lot. The black thing. Hartman, the guy that died... He was on
Phil Hartman.
He used to play Jesus on Saturday Night Live a lot.
Wow, I thought you were talking about the Belichick thing. I am stunned that anybody could find that.
Yeah.
That was just so over the top funny.
Right.
I couldn't see anybody taking offense to the,
it was religious,
making humor out of religion.
And the, I show up a lot of black events with food involved, whatever.
Yeah.
People didn't like that.
That's amazing. Then just don't watch life.
Right. You can't laugh.
If you're offended at that, just
stay
in your little hole and don't watch anything.
Somebody else, I think, said, I think Bill Belichick can take that.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that I thought
I still like
we might get
sound.
Some Patriot fans would be like, why are they still calling, you know,
right.
that kind of stuff. But the religion aspect
Well, he
of
has
that?
The hood. He's like, you know, the Dark Lord. That's kind of...
Sith.
I would embrace
Lord,
that. I would embrace
right?
it.
Although, didn't we hear that he didn't care for the Sports Illustrated cover back?
Oh, with the Santa Claus hat?
The Grinch?
Oh, that one. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Well, he had a Santa Claus hat on, but he had a really scowling
yeah.
look.
Yeah,
I believe I heard he didn't really care for that.
Yeah, I still have that in my desk if anybody needs to see it.
Brian
actually has it framed above
autographed.
His bed.
Brian in New
Mexico. Oh, it's not autographed.
Brian in New Mexico says, I thought you would want to know that at the end of the Southwest Airlines commercial, Eric's Screw You Bitch drop is played. Not sure how long this has been going
what?
On, but I've heard it at least for a week now on allpatriots.com programming.
Don't
you... You guys are going to lose a sponsor, so I hope this heads up is helpful.
Are you serious? Wait a minute. We have Southwest? I thought we were JetBlue.
Yeah, we're JetBlue. Maybe on EEI?
Maybe.
Wait a minute. How did my Screw You Bitch end up on EEI?
We don't play any Southwest spots.
This is,
or we do, and you have
or,
a bigger problem
or wait
than
a
just
minute.
The Screw
yeah,
You Bitch.
Yeah, somebody else is doing it, and they have Eric saying, Screw You Bitch.
Well, it sounds like we're not going to lose Southwest as a sponsor, because they very much appreciate the free advertising we're giving them.
No, we're JetBlue all
right.
the way.
And while we're discussing airlines, Fred, would you like to tell a little tale?
Well.
Oh, yes. This is a good
maybe
one.
Maybe the funniest road
one.
Story ever.
Why don't you tell it, Eric?
No, you tell it. And I need the
right.
visual, too.
Well, we were making our descent into Denver on Friday night. And I have the moving, you know, the moving map
yes.
thing. I had that on my screen. Fred's sitting to my right, below to my left. They each had games on. or other things we're on, movies. So we're getting close, and you can see on the map that we're close. We're making the final descent. The pilot had come on and said, you know, flight attendants, prepare for landing. So Fred, I think, had his headphones on or whatever, didn't hear, but kind of looked out the window and realized we were getting close. So he's like, I got to go to the bathroom. So I look at Bilo, and I'm like, we're really close to landing. So he goes down to the
Wheels had already.
I think Wheels had already done that. Yeah. So he goes walking down to the bathroom. And we knew what was coming because Bilo and I are both looking out the window and seeing lights and houses and trees and things. And we're like, he's going to come out of there a complete mess. All of a sudden, we have our typical hard landing where we bounce a little bit.
A little shot in there. Pilots.
Well, it's true.
Is that in honor of Lonnie Paxton? Because he used to be the one in the back going, hey!
So then about, you know, 30 seconds later, we see Fred coming out with this huge grin on his face, walking back up the aisle. We're all laughing at him. And he sits down, and he didn't make a mess of himself, thank God. At least it didn't appear.
I was going to number one.
Yeah.
But he said he had braced himself against the wall. He was.
I wouldn't want to be the person in the bathroom after me, though.
But he says
the seat might be a little damp.
He says he feels the shaking of the plane, and he says to himself, did we just land?
Right. I'm in the bathroom, and I'm like, and it's like all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, oh, my God, just landed.
So then he gets out of the bathroom, and I guess the flight attendants hadn't seen him go in. And
because they were strapped in their seats where they're supposed to be.
Right. So they see him, down. And they're like, their eyes bug out. And Fred's like, oh, hello.
I'm like, whoops.
In all seriousness, you're probably now in a very small minority. I can't think there's many people that were actually urinating in the bathroom on landing.
Well, you know,
you're a very special elite club.
I said to Eric, you know how there's that
seatbelt sign that says,
no, that
please
club,
stay seated.
You have sex.
Mile High Club.
The Mile High Club. Well, I'm the 0 Mile Club. People who went to the bathroom landing.
No, technically you were still in the Mile High Club because we were in the Mile High City when we landed.
Well okay.
Hush. Anyway, cooler if you were having sex in the bathroom.
No, I had my, you know, arm up against the wall and doing my business and then ba-boom, ba-boom, boom.
I'm just proud of you for coming out with, you know, your clothes wearable.
Yeah.
Especially since you only have the one suit that you bring.
Right. I have more than one suit.
No, you only try. Remember you got mad when I spilled the
beer
on you?
Oh, I don't bring more than one suit. No, who does? You're only there for a day, basically. You know? Anyway.
It's not suit. You only bring one thing to wear,
right.
Period.
Oh, well. You take it off and wear your boxers in your room. You take off your pants and jacket.
That's why you make fun of Andy, Eric, and I for taking two bags, a bag for our computer and a bag for our clothes. You put it all in one.
Well, you had a little trouble on the way home, too, with the bag.
Coming out, yeah.
When we were on the bus.
Well, with all the gifts that Ann
gave us a lot of gifts. Yeah.
My bag wouldn't zipper anymore, so when I took my bag out of the overhead, my sneakers fell out. There were clothes everywhere.
You were definitely
in the head with a shoe.
Definitely the comic relief.
It was. There was a shoe came falling out, and he was holding up the lot.
Is this the man?
It was a fun trip.
But Eric was making me crack up. He was on his stand up comedy best on the way home. We were watching Chris Berman, you know,
doing the blitz.
The blitz, and Eric was like imitating his hands and everything while he was doing it. It was very funny. It was very funny.
Well, so. He was like
he
Jerry
made me
Seinfeld.
Laugh. What?
He was like Jerry Seinfeld when he was an actual comedian.
Yeah.
I mean, he has talent. It just comes natural.
I
made Eric laugh out loud on the pregame social. Remember when you? How exactly did you set me up? You said, "Have I ever been wrong before or something?" And I go, "Yeah, about 6 times in career choices."
Yes.
And he actually broke out in a heavy.
It was laughter. It was good. It was a good line by Andy. I didn't see that sucker punch coming.
Because usually it's sexual related.
And then
Fred's used to those.
Yeah. Fred said something to me on the plane, too.
Oh, no. That
was made me laugh.
Hannah Storm? Or, no. Who
no, but now you need to tell us.
No, it was Linda Cohn.
Linda Cohn.
Linda Cohn.
Okay. Go ahead.
No.
Because I'm chewing gum. Because we, you know, at the end of the flight, they come around with the hot towels and the gum and the mints. So I had some gum.
You know how, like, they do it standing up and the break sometimes, and they're standing next to the big screen? Well, she's standing. She's got, like, these
thigh-high boots.
We were talking about
that. And I said, you know, it's about time she starts dressing her age. She's 60 years old. She's dressed.
She is pretty old.
I start laughing. My gum
she's
just
trying
came
to be
flying out of my mouth.
That's why you got it confused, because we saw that, and we actually said she's trying to be Hannah Storm.
Right.
Hannah Storm does that, but Hannah Storm's younger and hotter.
And then I think I called her a whore later.
I'm not sure she's much younger, if she is.
Oh, I think.
anything.
Much younger than Hannah Storm?
Yeah, Hannah Storm.
I think she's older than Hannah Storm.
I think she might be. She is older, but I don't think
Storm's
she's that much.
In her 40s, and I think Cohn is like 60s.
Late
40s. High 50s,
Linda Cohn's
low
not
60s.
In her 60s.
No, she's not that old. Wikipedia.
She's not that old. Let's put it this way.
Hannah Storm, Linda Cohn.
I say Linda Cohn is early 50s.
It won't be the first time, but I will be surprised if she's in her 60s.
Would you?
Linda Cohn? No.
No.
God, no.
Hannah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just checking.
All right. Let's go back to the email, webradio@patriots.com.
Andy doesn't like
James
Storm.
From...
No, I don't mind her.
Virginia.
I would. Well, nothing up top.
No front court.
James says it was an court, NFL though. Weekend that saw many strange outcomes. Green Bay losing
to KC. It's all about
KC,
guard play.
Ending their quest for perfection. The Colts finally getting their first win of the season and avoiding the dreaded 0-16. But the amazing thing to me is that after 15 weeks of ups and downs that saw Brady not at his best many weeks in a defense that is inconsistent at best, the Patriots find themselves with the best record in the AFC and can lock up home field advantage by winning their last two games. Also, the Patriots can do something they have never done before in the process, end the regular season at 13-3. They just need to take care of business against the Dolphins and Bills. Let's just hope that Brady is at his best those two games and the defense decides to show up long enough to keep both those teams under 25. So, that's James, formerly of North Carolina, now of Virginia. Let's go to the phones. Jerry from California is hanging on. Hey, Jerry.
Hi, good morning.
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I have a technical question for you guys, and I know you guys are all X's and O's and never discuss anything except technical issues, so I thought I'd give you a call.
Sounds like you listen often. Well, yeah. Well done.
Good call by you.
At least this morning. So I have a quick question about the film room. After every game, all the coaches and everybody are talking about, well, we're going to wait till we go to the film room, and we'll do this in the film room and this, that, and the other. But I've never heard anybody describe exactly what happens in those film rooms, and I'll break the question into two parts. If Hernandez goes into the end zone and Brady throws a ball right in his hands and there's nobody around him and he drops the ball, during the film session, does he have to stand up and explain what was going on, why he dropped the ball, this, that, and the other? And then the other part of the question, if Hernandez is wide open in the end zone and Tom Brady throws a ball five yards over his head, does Tom have to go through the same sort of description or whatever they do in the film room? So, like I said, I'm just curious if you guys give a little more technical information about what do they actually do when they review film.
That's a good question. Thanks, Jerry. Every team does it a little bit differently.
Yeah, every coach does it a little bit differently.
Right.
But basically, you watch it as a unit, for the most part, offense, defense, and then you break up into positions. So Dante Scarnecchia takes the offensive line, the quarterbacks, sometimes the skill players will watch some together. But it's not like the physical mistakes, there's not really anything to be said. You dropped it. Everybody knows you dropped it. You don't have to stand up and say, I dropped it because the sun was in my eyes. You're breaking down. Was it the right read? Did you run the right route? Did you drift? Did you not drift?
Right.
You know, those types of things. And yeah, there's discourse. There's, you know, Bill O'Brien, Aaron, did you see something on this? Is there a reason why you did X? And he may say yes. And Billy, that's not bad. You know, Tom, you guys need to get on the same page, but you need to see. I mean, there's definitely a discussion, but the most heavy, intricate discussion is within position groups or, you know, small groupings, the skill players, the DBs together, you know, things of that nature. But they do watch it as a group,
yeah,
too, at times.
But they try not to waste too much time. So
no.
It's not like Andy said, if it's a physical mistake and you drop the ball, they don't really go over that. However, you know, I have heard times when, like, a wide receiver will be caught by a lineman or something. They'll tease up, like, you know, where the position coach will tell the film guy, hey, get this ready for me because we're going to make fun of this
or
guy.
Or even Bill.
Yeah.
Or they'll have some, yeah, because they use, obviously, they use the sideline, they use the end zone. They'll show different angles on different plays, but sometimes stuff like that, they'll go to TV copy if there's a better replay of some stupid thing that he can use to, you know, take a shot at Gronkowski, who, you know, getting a little too big for his britches and make fun of him. Yeah, they do. That generally is in the full team.
But it's a learning thing. It's more learning than
it's execution,
critique than anything else.
They want to make sure the plays are being executed the way that they're expected to. You know, offense, defense, whatever the scheme was or whatever the play call was, they want to make sure that everybody's doing the right thing. They don't just gloss over physical mistakes either. I could see Bill, you know, on a play like the one that was it Jerry described, the one-yard touchdown to Hernandez where he just makes an in-cut, he's open, the ball's there. If he had dropped that, Bill probably is just going to say, you know, Aaron,
catch the effing ball.
We got to catch the ball here.
Right.
You know, it's, and they're not going to just gloss over a physical mistake like it didn't happen because everything execution-wise was perfect.
Right.
They'll say something about that too, but obviously the I think the stress in films is and the play call.
And I know in high school, and I'm sure in college, you know, you'd give out the stickers, so you'd go over the film and say, you know, great play there. You point out the good things too.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
But as far as the Patriots go, you know, they usually use the film early in the week, you know, if it's Monday, and then that's it. Then they're on to the next game. So,
yep.
You know, that's...
Although you may see something later in the year from that
right.
game.
Yes.
When there's a specific issue, if it keeps cropping up, now you're going to get a cut up of, here's the five times you've effed this up or we haven't been on the same page or whatever.
Right.
But it's more of cleaning up mistakes and teaching what can or can't happen moving forward. For example, on that touchdown Paul's talking about, I think Gronkowski was just as open. And part of that is the discussion with Brady. You know, why'd you go here? Could you have gone here? What'd you see? Blah, blah, blah. So there's...
Yeah.
They're always, as good as this is, you can watch any game from the Patriots scoring 45 points and probably find however many snaps they play. 60 snaps, 60 mistakes. On every, yeah. You know, one on every snap where something wasn't good enough that could cost us down the road.
And, you know, Jerry brings up a good point because of all the advances in football, you know, that have advanced the game, I think film technology is one of the biggest advances in how quickly they can turn around this stuff and send a guy away with his laptop and a DVD specifically made for him.
Well, that's the biggest thing. It's not even DVD now. You can go away with it.
Right.
It's on your hard drive.
Right, just on your hard drive.
And that's that next step people are taking with the iPads.
Yeah,
that it's right on your iPad. And literally, somebody on the Ravens, I take it everywhere. Like, I've been shopping with my wife in the grocery store, watching film as we're going down the aisles, watching some little cut-up they gave me of some situation. And I think the next step is... and maybe the Ravens have this, I don't know, the specific tie-in between the playbook and the video so that when I this is what we're going to do, this is the blitz we're going to run this week, video of either your team running that or another team running that, that you tap on that play in the playbook and it shows you that video example. So for the guys that, you know, the whole different kind of learners need to see it, X and O, that's that. And that's why I don't really buy Bill when he says he's not interested in iPads.
Right.
I think every team in the NFL within a year or two is going to be on the iPad.
Oh, yeah. The whole digital technology is allowing them to do all this stuff.
And that technology you talked about, Andy just mentioned, you know, they might have something that they get ready or cut up for a specific situation. Just as an example, they can now, in the blink of an eye, get every third and eight that Miami has run from between the 40s all season long.
Right.
That, you know, and it can be that specific.
Yep.
And they can get for every situation that you could possibly come up with.
Yep.
And that's what coaches do. They want to look at the trends the team has. So they might get, there might have been 35 times this year that Miami has faced second and seven in plus territory. And Bill's going to see every one of them and see if he can figure out a trend. Okay. This is what they normally do, and this, you know, they're at the 43-yard line. They like to go play action here and look for Fasano down the seam. So you might gear your defense to it. That's how specific it can get.
Fred, I just got an email from Kara, our friend.
Yeah.
And she's thanking us for being on the air, promoting us and everything. And then she ends, for the record, no, I didn't sleep with anyone. Now, am I close enough to her to respond, you want to?
No.
Well, we're also married.
I think you just did.
I was going to offer Eric up.
Well,
not me.
If sleeping with Eric could get her the win, I would give her Eric. But, you know, I don't know if that's going
to
help
you,
her.
My guess is then she'll be a two-time loser.
Sounds like you just got passed into society.
Is it in yet?
Oh.
See,
why
now,
do you always got to take it to an ugly
really,
place?
Really? You know?
Because he's an ugly man.
Zurich. Well, Eric's in a bit of a Zurich
spell. I don't know, Andy. I don't know if you should talk, because I remember in high school they used to call you Andy Dart. And it wasn't because you were fast.
Not because of his, you know, rankings of NFL teams.
Right.
Either.
Premature, is that what you're saying?
No, tiny.
Tiny, needle-like.
Oh, needle. I
mean. Brian says...
tuna can, the other way.
To clear up, Brian, in New Mexico, it wasn't Southwest, it was JetBlue.
Okay.
So you might want to look at that.
You
Kevin.
Might want to play your JetBlue commercial and see if it ends with.
As is normally the case, it does come back to us.
Yes.
And by us, I mean you, Kevin.
Jacob from Gitmo says, the screw you bitch is
I'm just
true.
Kidding.
I heard it as well.
And can you play it for us? I want to hear
Jeff
it
Jeff in Vegas sucks.
Well, I agree. Can you play it? You got the ad?
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun. With free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at jetblue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
I heard nothing.
I didn't hear
anything.
I didn't hear anything. Is that the spot you play, Kevin, or are you covering up for yourself?
Covering up
for
himself.
No, there's two. You want me to play the next one?
Well,
find it to see if it's entertaining.
We don't need to hear it. You listen to it and fix it.
According to strippers, Linda Cohn and Hannah Storm are 3 years apart.
Wow. What are those years?
Who are the, Cohn was born in 59, Storm in 62.
59.
According to strippers. This is not my
So it's 62
so
years
she's
old.
She's early 50s. She's 50.
53.
Yeah.
52.
52.
Yeah, 52. Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not good for Linda Cohn. She looks a decade older.
Oh, wow.
Cohn is 52, according to Stone 1248.
Yeah.
No, she looks okay for 52. Oh, come on.
She's just not attractive. I wasn't. She just nothing to do with her age.
Yeah, she just needs to dress
Paul
her
defended
age.
Her by saying it's not her age. She's just not attractive.
No, but you asked. I mean, we all. Let's face it. We're all pigs. You started this by saying, "Would you?" And I said, "No," because I don't think she's attractive.
I just thought there was at least a decade between the two.
I think she looked exactly the same that she did 15 years ago. I just,
that's why I
she's not
she
a very
was
attractive
old.
Woman.
I assumed that was between like 50 and 60 that I saw her. So. Hannah Storm, yeah, much better.
Steven writes in, what I learned today, Fred doesn't think it's okay to pee on a football field, but it's perfectly fine to urinate all over an airplane.
That's the disappointing part. Like, what would you have done? Just come out laughing if you had piss all over you?
No, I'd probably stay in there until it dried up. Well,
you missed the bus.
Yeah.
There's only like a 10-minute window there.
Are you kidding? There's plenty of time.
I was looking back. It looked like
some
of the
players
were laughing at him.
What's that?
It looked like some of the players were laughing at you.
The fat guy was in the bathroom. They might have been. I don't know. It's pretty funny, I have to admit. You know, plane lands and a guy walks out of the bathroom.
Sounds like the beginning of a joke.
It does.
He said, "Why the long face?"
And he said, "That's not my face.
Why the wet pants?"
No, but it wouldn't have dried. Clothes. If you piss all over your pants, it's going to take hours to dry.
I have more control than that. A few bumps aren't going to hurt me. Come on.
No, I don't. I peed on the floor of my
bathroom.
What
would be really bad is if you were doing number two and it splashed up because of the bumps. Now you're in trouble.
But at least then you'd be sitting, so it's all kind of contained.
Yeah, but it's still on you.
But it's contained. Yeah. If you pissed all over yourself, it would be all over your pants.
I know, but then you stink.
Yeah, but you can wipe. If you piss, it's piss.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Paul and Eric are on their tweeters. They're not even.
I'm trying to find something that I saw the other day that was that would be of interest to our.
She
listeners.
Doesn't want to talk to you. She actually threatened to call the police. I didn't want to tell you, but she emailed me to say stop.
Chad writes in, "Hi Fred and crew.
Ocho?
Nice game by our boys. 41 points and not five, as predicted by Eric Scalapavino up their Denver horses' throats." Enough from the morons who keep repeating that Brady is carrying the defense. Offense scores, you tools. Football equals quarterback. Your quarterback can't deliver, you're going right down the toilet. Our boys went out there in a so-called frightening stadium and frightening pass rushers and shoved 41 points up their throats. Enough with the fascist media who decided 2 years ago that a ball hawk is a million times more important than a quarterback. No one cares about a pass rusher when your team scores 45 every week. What's the matter with that Scalapavino guy? He chose the Broncos to win? He's been bashing on our team the entire season. I haven't never heard him say a single positive comment on the Patriots.
True. That's inaccurate. That's
and true. Paul Papabarillo and Andrew Hart, who even when we blow teams by 25, still have to act like any Patriots sectarian haters. Yeah, but the defense couldn't stop them. Andrew Hart is not Karl Marx.
Andrew
Hart. I order him to stop pretending he is. He could read him. It will help his common sense.
Who's this?
But his whole thing of dancing his hands from left to right and faking an upper-class accent has to stop? What the
Andy?
Hell?
Was that,
the hell
was that? Was that written by Pete Shepard?
I don't know. Paul Papabarillo, or whatever his name is off-topic 99.9% of the time. Never a concrete fact. Pure media product. Wow. Enough with Scalapavino, Andrew Hart, and Paul Papabarillo.
Andrew
Hart. Bunch of overpaid negative beavers.
Oh, certainly not overpaid.
You guys have a serious problem with the Patriots. In fact, you should go root for the Seahawks.
We're not rooting. We're journalists. We're objective.
Well, he's from France, this guy.
In an email filled with inaccuracies, that last part was the most inaccurate.
What?
We're overpaid.
Yeah, that's what I said. I mean, that's the only beaver I know is his wife's.
Oh, God, see now. In France, that's okay, though.
In France, it stinks.
Oh, now. It's just really
Seriously,
going down there.
You are his boss. Can you do something about this?
Andy, you got to watch it, you know? That's not good.
You said I don't have to go to London, right? So I'm not going to be near the guy.
Did we decide that?
Actually,
we didn't talk about that on the air yet, Andy. That was what I was kind of looking up before.
So there are rumors percolating on the internet that the Patriots could play the Jaguars in London
next year.
You've said for years that it's sooner rather than later we'll have another trip out there.
It's a rumor.
No, I know, but you've said for years, going back since when we went, that you think Mr. Kraft would like to go back another
time.
Yeah,
but I also think a fan started the rumor, so I don't know.
That's why it's a rumor. It's not a report.
No, the rumor was started by Ian Rappaport. Right.
Could have been Alabaster.
Who talked to a fan.
Fred Astaire. No, what's the guy's name?
You're mixing up the two stories.
He posted something a few days ago speculating, and then...
There was another story totally separate about a fan.
And Shaka Khan wants to play over there.
Right. That's where Ian Rappaport's original thing came
from. Yes. Right. And then there was a... report that a fan spoke to somebody high up this weekend in NFL circles and said that it was close to being a done deal.
Okay, well, that'd be great.
Which would be great.
So it's two different things.
Like, but we don't know anything. We haven't confirmed
about you guys. I mean, what
you guys?
We haven't talked about what if.
Of course not, because there's nothing to talk about yet.
Yeah,
it's a rumor,
but it's a great rumor, and if it comes true,
now obviously it would be a Jags home game that they'd lose because
the Patriots don't lose home games.
And the Jags don't have home crowds, so it's perfect.
All right, let's get back to the phones, 508-298-0398. The calls are stacked up. Derek from the University of Arizona. Hey, Derek.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
First of all, that beaver comment was quite funny. still laughing about that. Fred, to your point earlier, I think you made earlier, so I really do think Ben Jarvis ran, like, at least for the first two runs after Ridley came in, I honestly think he ran better.
I do, too.
He looks faster all of a sudden, but he looks awful. I mean, really.
Okay.
I don't know what it is.
We're all in agreement.
So for that two-run stretch, how many yards did he get on these two runs?
No, but I think he saw, I better pick it up here.
So that makes me feel even worse about him, because when he wasn't trying, he got 2 yards.
Yeah,
when he tried, he got 2 yards. He only gets 2 yards.
I didn't say that to compliment Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis. I did it to say, he noticed that he could be doing better.
But couldn't.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, he only had, 17 yards for the game?
Yes,
so
on 10 carries.
He realized that anyway.
1.7. Yeah, it shouldn't take a rookie playing for you to realize you can do better when you're under 2 yards a carry seemingly every other week.
Well, I think we all are agreeing that I think Benny's a good running back, solid. I think he does a lot of things good, but
I think he's a good backup running back.
Yeah, he's a good backup running back, or he's a solid complimentary back. You know, he does everything that you want running backs to do. He just doesn't really do anything spectacular.
Right.
I think with Ridley, he probably does a lot of things like fundamentally kind of wrong at times, and there's that ball security issue that.
Right.
You know, a lot of people have said they're worried about, but I think he is more dynamic and he's more of a threat. So
well, let's see if he fumbles first.
Well, that's
we don't know.
That would be my argument.
Right. Right.
If it's ball security, well, let me see that there's a problem with ball security with Ridley before I assume
unless
that
he
can't do the same thing.
Well, he's fumbling in practice when they rarely go full contact.
Right.
Then it's a major problem, and I'm with Bill.
And I'm going to assume that's not the case because I don't think he'd be getting any carries.
Yeah. The only issue is, wouldn't you have liked to have seen those fumbles, 2 months ago?
Yes.
That's why I think it's too late. You're right. In January, he fumbles.
Right.
To me, it's too late.
Yeah.
To make that choice because of that exact reason.
But it's almost too late for all. You haven't gotten Ben Jarvis going. Maybe he can't. Maybe the injury, Fred, you were pointing to for a while, the toe injury when he was on the injury report. Whatever it is, you're at the point where I just don't feel like he's going to flick a switch and all of a sudden get you 100 yards.
Well, there's nothing sudden about the way he runs.
50 carries.
And with Ridley, he does have that sudden, suddenness to, his running, which you need. But you need that in order to make a big play.
Right.
There's
no burst. No burst for Ben Jarvis.
I noticed that suddenness you're talking about.
Well, absolutely. I'm glad you did.
You're getting mocked by the callers, Fred.
Of course, we also noticed that he continues to turn his back on contact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I don't care.
By the way,
saw that and I thought of you.
I did hear that Eric, screw you, bitch,
where?
During the drop.
During the spot?
I don't know what it was.
That's three people.
That's actually four, because now I have a tweet from somebody.
Oh, no, we get a lot of emails.
I'm getting tweets about it. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of emails.
It's not the first one. I think I heard it last week, but I just thought maybe,
It's in the JetBlue?
Is there a
Derek,
situation?
Apparently, everybody but JetBlue listens to the show. Thank goodness.
Wow. Kevin, is there a situation where you have the promos are stacked in a different set, and all you do is hit the button? And so the thing that you played as is separate from the one that would actually go out when you play the actual spot?
No, it's the same one. You just make a playlist, so you stack them up like four or five at a time.
Sounds like one of four of those five.
Screw you, bitch, on that playlist?
Yeah.
No.
We are getting a lot of tweets about it.
But no, I rebooted the machine and reset the playlist.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Are you going on intimating that Kevin could make a mistake? I mean, I think that's pretty much...
Derek, we all know that that's not the case. Now, come on.
We all know that.
Now, Derek, which class are you missing right now?
What? I'm done, man.
He's done.
Christmas.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Tis the season.
So you have no class. Is that what you're saying?
Oh. Hey, Rodney.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Take your shot,
there,
big boy.
No, he's not a very good boy.
All right, Derek.
I'm very, actually, I'm kind of sickly.
Thanks for calling in.
Itty bitty Eric.
Petite, actually. got another tweet from a fan, Fred, you might be interested in. He says to me, Paul, and Andy, why do all the best Fred Kirsch stories involve his or other men's penises? with the hashtag latent.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
That would be Andy.
That would be Andy, actually, yeah.
What? Big Al's been holding on for about half an hour. Hey, Big Al, how you doing?
Don't yell at us.
Fellas, happy holidays to one and all.
You too. Merry Christmas.
You too, Al. Thoughts on the first quarter run defense?
I guess I've been tasked this time to try to restore class and dignity to a program that certainly will never
that has
be
none.
Accused of having either.
Right.
We like it that way.
Your call, the last call that you made, was among the best that we've ever had, so please do
really?
Not feel compelled to change anything.
I've calmed down significantly since then.
That's why I asked you what your thoughts were on the Patriots' run defense in the first quarter on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, thankfully, I don't know whose God produced it, but McGahee got hurt, and we got a couple turnovers.
Yep,
that's so, pretty much, you know, they made summarizes
some,
it.
They made some,
you
know, adjustments too that
guess,
they're going.
Overs and unders, odds and
awesome
evens.
God, but we, you know, Sunday we had a more awesome God.
That's true. His name was Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, absolutely.
But look,
I'm not hating on Tebow. I think the kid's sincere. I think there may be those out there that are kind of using him for their own agendas one way or the other. But, you know, we did catch a break with McGahee getting hurt. Great game for the pass. And I think we should send, you know, greetings and holiday cheer, certainly to San Diego, San Francisco, and Carolina for knocking off these other three teams.
Certainly. It was a great weekend. Couldn't have played out any better for the Patriots. And my only fear is, and I was telling this earlier to Paul, is that San Diego team, if they can back their way into the postseason, scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, you kind of want them to get nosed out at some point. Which
yep.
I think they will. Denver's going to come back next week in Buffalo, and I don't know if that'll wrap it up for them, but it'll virtually wrap it up. And I think they've got the Chiefs the last week who probably will be out of it by then.
Yeah, no, and, it's unlikely San Diego gets in, and if I'm a Patriots fan, I want it to stay that way.
I wasn't paying attention, but did we just figure out that San Diego needs Denver to lose both?
I believe so.
Oh, yeah, there's no chance.
Yeah, the NFL hasn't
no
put
chance?
Out...
No chance.
The NFL usually puts out the playoff scenarios on Tuesday, but as
they're not
of yet,
lose
they
both.
Haven't done so. Today's Wednesday.
They're not going to lose both.
They play... Wait, is the game
it's
at Buffalo?
It's at Buffalo.
The game is at Buffalo. Yeah. They're going to win it because they're coming off a loss. They're going to be fired up. They're going
to
win it.
But see, here, Denver could go out and play great and lose. They stink. They could lose to anybody. It's not a very good team, but I just think Buffalo's packed it in. That's
they're
why I don't think they can lose.
Paul,
to
they're going
to
win. And
I agree. I think they're going to win.
And,
I agree.
And then you got Kansas City last week. They're just hanging on mathematically. I think by then Kansas City will be firing up the U-Hauls and everything
yeah.
else. Although I'm rooting for Romeo to get the job. I think it'd be great for him.
Yes. That could happen, but I think Kansas City could easily beat Denver. Easily. I don't think they will, but they could. Just because
it's at Denver, they're going to lose.
I just think Denver's a terrible
team.
Denver's
in the playoffs, and they're going to win their last two games. So we don't have to worry about San Diego. Just
okay.
write that off.
I agree.
I'm on board.
I agree. I thought there was a tiebreaker involved there, but evidently there's not. So
no,
if they have to lose both,
win their games.
They're not going to lose both. No,
no
chance.
They're not. They're not going to lose either. They're going to win both, and they're going to be in the playoffs.
I'm going to just because I'm in a fun mood right now, Al. I'm going to play along with you. I'm going to bet you they lose one of those two games.
Well,
just to be different.
I'm going to bet you nothing because I have nothing to bet.
Be a little contrarian, spirit there. You're picking up from Andy Hart. Who was born contrarian. I think the doctor looked at Andy Hart and slapped his mother.
Oh.
Ba-dum-bum.
All right.
Well done, Al.
Good.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank
I'll be here all week.
All right, Al.
Well, actually, you're done.
Try the veal.
All right.
That's enough.
Call.
Got a lot of calls.
Calls are stacking up.
Dan Heffer writes, and he just, I wanted to check on the schedule for the week because I finished
Thursday.
The poem, and I didn't know if you had a show on Thursday.
Also, should I send the poem in advance to Kevin or just send it on Thursday?
Oh, the Christmas poem.
I believe we do have a show on Thursday, right?
Why wouldn't Patriots Friday
is still Patriots Friday, even though the game's on Saturday?
No, it's going to be it's going to be on Thursday.
Oh, but, so we have to do
what?
Wait, so we have to do picks tomorrow?
Listen, they're not going to be in studio, Fred.
Okay.
So we can still do our normal programming. We just won't be taking their feed. It's up to you.
Fine, we'll do our program.
Yeah, we don't need to take our feed and something else.
But what we should do is
we need to eliminate.
Let's just make sure
year.
That we get all the recordings of the interviews. We'll put them up
and then
on demand.
On Friday.
Right?
Can you save the poem though, so that when we do picks on Thursday, so that I can hear it?
I don't know if we have time.
We'll have time. We can do whatever we want. We'll do it right before picks, so Eric can be here. Yeah. But he should send it in early, so you can prep, because you usually pre-read it, right?
Actually, no, he doesn't. That's what makes it funnier.
I like to pre-read it so that I get all the
music.
I get the timing.
Yes.
Yeah.
You need to practice that.
I thought he didn't pre-read.
Gary threw out iambic pentameter this week, and Matt corrected us. That's not iambic.
When we had a real producer, he would prep drop-ins, and he would be ready, all of them.
Have him send it to me, then.
Okay, so, Dan, send it in early. So that Kevin can have a look at it.
And not do anything with it. Speaking of which, you went to Denver. And the idea was to learn about the way they do business there, right?
Yep.
And you saw the monkey on the dog.
The best halftime show I've ever seen.
No, I know. I wrote note to self, train monkey to ride another animal.
No, you.
12.
Just sit on a dog's back and ride around.
The monkeys that were on the big-horned sheep or goats or whatever were actually more entertaining.
Unbelievable. I couldn't believe it.
Was PETA actually picketing outside the stadium? I can't believe that they allow that.
There was no rhyme or reason to that thing.
It was just odd.
It's TV 101. Thing. A monkey is funny.
Yeah, but it started with just the Rams.
Right.
They had four Rams that came out, and the Rams looked like they were scared to death because they all huddled right next to each other, and they ran in formation the whole time.
Well, there were 68 screaming thousands.
I know.
People all around.
But this has to be some sort of, like,
violation of animal rights.
Monkey rodeo.
No, I mean, but there wasn't any.
It was just odd. You know, the Rams come out, and these monkeys on dogs. It's like a dream sequence.
But you were entertained, weren't you?
What?
We were entertained, but we didn't know.
I was kind of, like, aghast.
You don't find monkeys
entertaining?
No, I was entertained by it, but I was the whole time thinking,
I must be hallucinating.
I actually didn't think there was much.
There
was
no point to it. Are they going to catch a Frisbee, or, like, what's going on?
There was nothing.
I love the Frisbee dogs.
But you know, usually, like, when they have, like, the Frisbee dogs, there's a person out there.
Throwing them, jumping.
Right, showing them. They let the Rams just run out onto the field.
I didn't really think this was all that.
And then they sent the dogs out. And the dogs start chasing them, and the Rams are like
chaos.
These four Rams are just like all just turning and running around. And then finally somebody came out and said, all right, they'll take the Rams away. And they left the monkeys and the dogs out there, and then they started doing something with like a little fenced-in area.
Yeah.
It made no sense.
But these monkeys are strapped on.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
bouncing all around.
The little head's bobbing up and down, and the dog is running around. I mean, I can't believe that the monkey is enjoying itself.
What's wrong with you?
The monkeys did not look happy.
No,
I will give you that much.
That's just like,
but bottom
yelling.
Line.
I don't know if you could hear him in the press box.
I'd be yelling, too.
No, the monkeys were like screaming.
Everyone was screaming.
It was more entertaining than the nothing we do here.
Well, it certainly caught my attention.
I'll say that.
But thank you,
Eric. I don't know if you probably caught the tail end of it, but the coolest
I saw
thing,
the whole thing.
No, but the coolest thing was pregame when those guys came in that
parachuted.
Oh, that was
guys.
Cool.
I thought that was really.
The last
cool.
time
that
we did
before,
that in
though.
Foxborough, they landed in the seats.
Yeah,
I was
we have a bad track record.
Right.
When did we do
the
that?
Guys, the old stadium.
Yeah,
I
remember. But
they
landed literally in the seats.
They've done that at Super Bowls. That's something we've seen before. I've never seen.
Monkey
Longhorn sheep running around a field with monkeys strapped on the backs of border collies.
It was just odd.
It really was a dream
like
sequence.
Like, if we did that, who could we picture would be the sponsor of that? You know, because we have to sponsor everything.
It'd
so.
Be like,
oh, was it sponsored?
Like a,
no.
like a zoo.
PetSmart.
Yeah.
Like PetSmart or a zoo.
This
or something.
Is not smart. Yeah. Right. I was just like. Yeah, I'm with Paul. I wasn't entertained.
I didn't think it was all that.
I was more like,
I thought it was bizarre.
You know? Yeah.
When
yeah,
I saw it, I was like, oh my God, what is that?
I like bizarre.
I came back from getting my lunch, and everyone, I go, what are we looking at here? And it's like a dog with a monkey on its back. And the monkey's going, I mean, it's going to have whiplash.
It made SportsCenter. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. I saw it on SportsCenter.
Oh, it was.
You couldn't look away.
The guys on CBS, Shannon Sharp and Marino and Kawa, were laughing so hard as JB came back to do this next segment. And they didn't tell us what they were laughing at initially, but it was. Andy, as unprofessional
as anything we've ever done.
Yeah, I mean, we both looked at each other and said, I'm tired of people making fun of us for our lack of professionalism. This is a major network that pays billions and billions of dollars to do this, and they're all laughing hysterically as
coming
they come
into
back,
it.
Come back from a break, and JB is trying to compose himself to do the highlights. Then they do the highlights, and they show us why they were laughing. It, you know, a foolish dog running around with a monkey strapped on it. You know,
did they show the Rams? Did they show the Rams?
No, I don't.
Because that was, that was the most bizarre. Like, you've seen dogs do tricks on the field before. You might have even seen monkeys doing their things. But they had rams on a field. And real rams.
Random rams.
Random.
It's just like, right. Random. Why are they there?
As opposed
to famous rams.
Yes, as opposed to the specific ones that are normally at NFL stadiums. Right.
Who's your favorite ram that you wanted to see, not random rams?
You know, it
Kurt
was,
Warner.
No, but it was like
Robert Quinn.
But what was the purpose?
Hey, my boy
of
Alden
the
Smith,
yeah,
that was
the most bizarre thing. There wasn't even a point to the monkeys and
you know,
the dog.
If the ram was there, and then the dog jumps on the back of the ram, and then you get the monkey.
Right,
so you got,
it's like a pyramid.
Okay, so now it's like a circus act.
Right, there was
but
no circus act.
It was just like,
why are you so angry?
It just didn't make sense.
So,
and it
was funny, but it just. We were trying to figure out what was going
on. And so, like, I can just picture, like, the Denver entertainment person. Okay, you know, oh, monkeys on the backs of dogs. Let's get it. I don't know.
I wish our guy would do that.
I don't. I'm glad that we don't do
anything
that kind of stuff
to entertain me.
There's a lot of other things that I see at stadiums that I think is kind of entertaining. I just didn't get that. But I agree with Andy. We should do something. And it's not. This is not criticism at you, Kevin. Before you take it,
mine is.
No, but we have.
This is something that's gone on for
Andy's
the
is,
for the entire life of Gillette Stadium. We've never
for
really
a mascot,
done anything
on a scooter or a Segway.
Ours are all
with
paid,
gun.
Sponsored type stuff.
But I don't understand why you can't get something
cool. Yeah.
For a sponsor to be.
Well, before
part of
the game, they had like these huge bubbles, and people were inside them, and they had three people in bubbles, and they had a race.
Great!
Like,
you can't sponsor that.
And the bubble was sponsored.
We have to find the big Pepsi bottle. That's what we do every year.
Yeah,
well, like night court in
the
fifth season.
We have to kick the field goal before the game. Now,
the ocean spray field goal kick, but we also have like in terms of like people doing funny stuff on the field. It's that blindfolded idiot every year that runs around trying to get the Pepsi bottle.
Right.
Stupid. Blindfolded idiot.
I don't know why does he
too
have to be an idiot, but, you know, right, just somebody trying to win a prize.
And I know that we don't have the sponsor, but, like, even the Bronco, the horse running around.
Thunder.
Right.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, I said going in, you know, because now it's Sports Authority Stadium. They have the huge Bronco on top of the scoreboard. I said, that's like one of the advantages of having a non-human as your mascot. When you
a
have
cat
a human, you can only do so much stuff.
Right.
With it,
well, the Minutemen thing that we have in the end zone is pretty cool when they fire off all their muskets.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. In a cool, like, 1700.
Bunch of freeloaders getting a free pass to the game.
No, I think it's.
Sore subject, apparently.
He all of a sudden gets mad. And
he goes, you notice when we sucked, there were five of them. Now there's 30 of them.
Right. That is a Fred rant. Yes. In the playoffs, all of a sudden, it's a whole section.
I don't know why they get where they get the costumes.
See, I think it's cool that those guys, the militia, I think is cool.
It is cool.
But it's not necessarily entertaining for
the actual fans.
Right.
They're
the
just,
only one
they're
having
really
fun
old
is, are them.
Them.
You know? They get to play dress up on Sunday. All right.
Really,
you
are. Just en fuego today.
I just, you know. Nick in Victoria says, thanks, guys.
Nice. Good for him.
Nice.
Quickly moving over Jeff from Vegas. You finally showed you're listening to the fans of the show. And, Eric, please burn all your Patriots gear. Oh, wait. You're not a Patriots fan, so you don't own any.
That's right. I'm a journalist.
And Broncos over the Pats. You and all the other fair-weather Pats fans just got smacked by the hand of Brady. I like it.
You know, that's an interesting topic. The media. So
he's going to fight somebody right now.
No, here we go.
That person's not in the room.
Ding, ding.
No. The element. Listen, this was Eric this week. It could have been you because you've done it. It could have been me.
I've never picked
it against
the Patriots.
It can't be Fred, but it could be any of the three of us where you lose when you pick against the Patriots.
Have I ever said Have I ever said it like he said it? Do we need to replay how he said it? The Tebow thing?
Yes.
He was excited. The energy was building.
It was
a big
game. But he thought Denver was going to win the game. He was wrong. But does that mean that, like, you're not allowed to pick against
no.
The backlash you get when you're wrong on a game like this.
Oh, it's all in fun.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's the answer to that. Like, yeah. D.A. picked the Broncos this week. Damon Amendolaro, who does the overnight, not the overnight, but a
it's
night show.
Because he looks like one.
He does a night show on.
You seen those teeth? Oh, holy Christ.
This is, hey, by the way, Fred, this is when Paul's going to take shots at someone who's not in the room.
Eric, tell somebody came up to you. We won't mention whose name in Denver in the lunchroom. said something about Andy.
We don't miss him.
Oh, yes. Yes. Somebody.
Crap sheet?
Somebody.
Is this because I got into a battle with him on Twitter?
Came up to me, unsolicited and said, you know that Andy Hart? He's really mean. And I said, yeah? And? I was waiting for something else, and he was like, that was it.
That was it.
When you accuse reporters of Twitter plagiarism, they get mad.
Was it?
He used the exact same sentence that Mike Reese used 2 minutes earlier.
I saw that tweet, that exchange that you had.
Oh, great minds think
there
alike.
Was a, and he responded there was a to my tweet calling me a Richard.
My
don't be a Richard, he said.
Mike Reese sent out a tweet message. Saying, I'm paraphrasing, but an interesting tidbit from the Mayo contract, he has X amount of $1 million guaranteed in 2015, the only NFL player with a guaranteed money that far ahead.
Right.
Literally, 5 minutes later, he writes
no coincidence.
The same wording. But the same wording. Interesting tidbit from the Mayo contract.
That's no coincidence.
And I retweeted
that one is too obscure.
That's our point.
Yeah. Mike Reese just said that.
Yeah.
And he called me a dick.
Yeah.
Which you are, but that's necessarily
to say that word.
You being wrong in that case.
Wow.
And I told him, my response was, I learned it from watching you.
and that's the other thing. You can't win with him because you will never let anyone have the last word on Twitter.
Nope. No. Or in life.
Right.
Or in the boardroom.
I let you have the last room word today.
Yeah, I heard did. Paul kicked your butt.
That today. Is accurate today.
In the PFW trash talk.
I got Andy to say a lot of things about the Patriots that he doesn't really believe. I feel that's a victory.
Well, yeah, he did. But we just started yelling. It was a good one where we didn't really have a lot of passion, and then there was all of a sudden passion.
We started off really not knowing exactly what we were going to say or argue about, and literally
turned into World War III.
15 seconds in, it clicked in both of our heads, and we were like, this is going to be a good one.
Ding, ding.
Pretty cool for all. We get a lot of emails from fans saying, oh, I don't get to watch the Patriots games. I live far away. Where can I watch them online? If the Patriots are lucky enough to make it to the Super Bowl, the NFL has just announced that they will be streaming the game live in the U.S. for the first time.
Which is cool, but the Super Bowl is on everywhere.
Well,
you know, it's not like you have trouble. What?
That might not be at a television set,
though. They need to do that
during
the season. You know, the Super Bowl is on in 50 countries.
You know what?
Way to throw water on the announcement, Fred.
I'm with you, Fred. I don't want to watch the game on my 72-inch plasma.
Right.
I want to watch it online.
I keep thinking of that ESPN Cowboy commercial, the guy out by the lake.
He
can watch the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, and to me, that is more of, well, we can do it, so let's do it, you know.
But it's not streaming globally?
I think, if streaming is streaming.
Well, the announcement says,
It
says live in U.S. for the first time, NBCSports.com and NFL.com.
Can you do that?
I don't know how they're going to stop someone from outside the U.S.
That's why I asked you. You do that?
Yeah, you can do a geo thing and block it, I guess.
Okay. So it can be done.
Don't we do that with our
first time postseason games will be available in the U.S. via live online streaming and via a mobile app.
You can walk in any department store and watch the game on Super Bowl Sunday.
A TV store, anything. Just go watch it.
I don't know. Anyway.
How many people said, I really wish I could watch the Super Bowl? I can't.
Yeah.
But that's my point. Everybody can watch it. And
if they want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to dump cold water on your announcement there, Eric.
Well, it's not my announcement.
Yeah, it's really sad. No, but Eric's like looking down like,
Eric's fault.
I thought I actually contributed.
But did you voice this? You go to these meetings. Don't you go to these digital media meetings?
I don't go to those meetings. What do you think? I'm in New York at digital meetings?
Wait a minute. Every year you miss a few days saying you're at the digital
meetings.
They
don't have those anymore. I haven't been for like years.
It was only like a year or two ago that you
went. So where
Chris
were you?
Went. Remember, he ordered the steak at
you went to Los Angeles?
3 a.m.?
No, that was a website for the meeting. Patriots when we were transitioning to our new website.
That was a Patriots
that
website.
That was a league thing.
I thought that was a league thing.
No. But I want to know where it is you go every year. At least I know when Eric and Andy go to the Combine, I'm pretty sure they're at the Combine. Where are you?
That's true.
It's all coming to know.
Fly fishing in Wyoming.
Who needs to know?
Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Eldridge has been holding on for 40 minutes and 30 seconds. Eldridge, how you doing?
Wow. Fine, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
I'm scared about the first quarter, but after that, Brady time. Wasn't no Tebow time. It was Brady time. And I love that.
That's right.
Two questions. Since our best defensive lineman went down, who's going to take his place?
Well, Mike Anderson's going to have to...
Mark.
What?
Mark
Anderson.
Mark Anderson's going to have to step up and
more 3-4 fronts, Fred?
I got a feeling we're going to see a little bit more out of Sean Ellis.
Oh, boy. Couldn't see any less.
In terms of playing time, I think you're right. In terms of production,
I don't think
Eldridge
he likes
not
that
happy.
Answer.
Not happy.
No, the Patriots are not bringing back Albert Haynesworth.
No, because he's losing
I'm
in Tampa.
I'm glad we're doing that. Sean Ellis, I ain't seen him, but
different
one
position
play,
anyway.
And well, that's when I was always on the ground.
Well, no, he's been getting, he was a little dinged up, so they've been holding him back. I think they're
going. What are you talking
unleash
about?
Unleash the dogs.
No, don't mislead but, people. Yeah, don't mislead don't people. Play. That's not fair.
He just couldn't play. He wasn't dinged up.
He's not hurt.
He was irrelevant. He did get that little rib injury, I think, but he'd been irrelevant to that point, and he never came back from it.
He's
never
not
relevant.
On the injury report. No. He hasn't been for a while.
He just KP.
He just can't play. I agree with you, man. He can't play.
That's why I think you're going to see more Dedrick embrace, and I think you may see some 3-4 fronts where it's Will Fork on one end, Love in the middle, and Dedrick or Brace filling that other end spot. Maybe Ellis. He'll get some reps. Don't get me wrong. And then situationally, or Mike, for you, Anderson will be in his role as the pass rusher, right. Defensive end.
And I think
most improved goes to Kyle Love this year. He gets the award for most improved.
Get off here.
I agree with that. What about Eric Moore?
Day one, he fell in love with him.
Just to back up Andy's point on the 3-4, I think Carter is one specific player who, in particular, didn't fit the 3-4. It seemed like they didn't want to do 3-4 because of him.
Right.
Based on his experiences in Washington. So
they were kind of right.
With him out, you wonder if maybe that will lend to more fronts, the one he just talked. And you're right, Eldridge. Eric Moore is a guy who got some run on Sunday as a pass rusher. Right. Again, Anderson.
Like last December, too, when Eric Moore came in and made some plays
from
the
edge. Like Anderson, I think you'll see him in situationally, and I think that he can get some penetration and get in the backfield a little bit. I don't think you want to play him every down.
Heck no.
But I think you can live with him as a pass rusher.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. Question. McCord is hurt. I don't care what nobody say. He's not, I don't think he's 100%. I don't think he's 85%.
He's not.
No, and he's been on the injury report as limited, so we know he's not.
He's playing with one shoulder.
Yeah.
Why not put Molden back in there? Molden was doing pretty good. He was coming on. He was probably a little bit better than McCord is doing now, I think. Instead of him watching
I certainly haven't seen much difference, I'll be honest with you.
I haven't seen anything to warrant that.
The hope is that McCourty's the better player.
Yeah.
That you will see a difference at some point.
He started to in the second half of that Washington game, I thought.
I don't think the injury has been relevant at all. I think he's been terrible all year.
A little bit, Paul.
Yeah,
McCourty. I do. It hurt. That's what I'm talking about.
No,
it's
but he wasn't hurt all
I don't
year.
Think, yeah.
He stunk early in the
His
year.
His performance is not injury related.
Round two
on,
of Brandon
opinion.
Marshall follows up the first round, which was 139 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first excuse was, it's two big receivers to open the year. Then it was this receiver and that, and then we stopped
Pretty
making excuses because
he
was having a terrible year.
Even in a game where the other team didn't throw the ball, I thought he got lost on a deep ball the other day. And I know that he was clearly in some sort of zone where there was supposed to be someone coming over, but he inexplicably drifts to the inside and let Demaryius Thomas have a lot of space underneath him on the outside on that long, it was like a 30-yard pass, something like that.
Yeah,
I know it wasn't man-to-man coverage where he got beat, per se, but I don't think he was where he was supposed to be.
No, because they ran that scene, and safety got to take one of them, he got to take the other. Because safety ain't going to play both of them.
I totally agree, Eldridge. He ended up taking nobody.
He took the green grass.
Right. But ain't it amazing? I mean, I watched San Francisco. Last night I was rooting for them to beat the devil out of Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
Because of my family.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, it's amazing how everybody else gets corners as rookies, and they play better than what we got the genius. Defense.
Well, we had a rookie corner that played great last year, too.
Yeah, we did.
It's the second year we have problems.
Right. The thing I was looking at was Alden Smith.
Thanks for the call, Aldrich.
Alden Smith, who's having a pretty decent year.
Great year.
Guy they could have gotten. Ryan Kerrigan the week before. Guy they could have gotten.
Von Miller. Did nothing.
But
guy they could have gotten.
Robert Quinn, blocking punts all over the planet. Could have gotten.
Alden Smith is a definite defensive rookie of the year candidate.
I have a question for you, too. Okay, I'm going to turn to Eric now because I'm not sure Fred was paying attention. It looked like when they went 3-4 that they had some unique spacing where they moved inside linebackers out a little so they're more stacked over the defensive ends almost and kind of over the tackle.
The splits
were
a lot wider.
So you did. That's what I saw on TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. So they were kind of daring them to run up the middle, it seems like.
It was kind of, it was a weird look that I don't remember
seeing. It looks
like
they went at least a half a body out. Instead of being over the guards, they were out more in that tackle area.
And it wasn't a traditional look for them.
That's interesting. What do you make of that, Fred? They just worried about the option on the edge or something like that? Scraping to see?
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean,
maybe they felt, maybe.
Your original thought, Andy? I think was
too busy
accurate.
Watching monkeys on the back of dogs.
I thought you weren't entertained.
Wow, I told you I was incredulous.
I think the original thought, Andy, is the one that they couldn't handle it on the edge. Ninkovich was getting killed. They were getting easily to the edge, and there was a lot of space.
And they felt like their strength was maybe in the middle with Wolfork, Love, those bigger bodies.
Even if you look, I saw an overhead view last night that they showed on, I think, ESPN during the course of the day.
Got to go to Bill.
The,
starts at 2.
The play that Anderson caused the fumble on the option play.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If Tebow had recognized quicker, now Anderson is there immediately, so it's not. I'm not blaming Tebow. Anderson made a terrific play. He did exactly what you're supposed to do. You make the quarterback make a fast decision. He had quarterback, right?
But yes,
he had
but
to have quarterback on that play. I know he was unblocked.
But it's all no. He did his job. The quarterback's job is to see that, pitch it, get rid of it.
If
he's been running the option for 6 years in his life.
And the reason why I say it is because if he had pitched it, Eddie Royal may be still running.
Right, and that's
what I
don't
understand. Out there. There was nothing out there. Arrington is like the only white shirt on the outside of the hash marks, and he comes running up when the ball got. By the time the ball was fumbled, he comes running up.
Right.
They were not going to be able to handle that play on the edge, and I think that might be part of what they're talking about. They just didn't feel like they could set the edge.
Another question for you, Fred. You brought up your boy Kyle Love, who you've been promoting since training camp.
Loving him.
I think he gets a little bit of credit for his celebrations. I see him, like, diving on piles, and he gets up and, he didn't really make the play.
I think
he's a more likable Brandon Spikes.
Yes.
He celebrates like he made a play.
Yeah. There was a play on Sunday that me and Andy looked at and go, wow, look at Kyle Love celebrating. We watched the replay and go,
what's he celebrating?
He's happy for his teammates.
Vince made the tackle.
Well, he had one play where he literally bent Bell backwards, and he really celebrated.
That was the play, and Vince had him by the waist.
Vince missed. He ended up on his stomach in not making the tackle.
Well, then we're thinking about a different play then, because there was a play that he got up and celebrated like.
Yeah. I think he celebrates a lot when he's in the area.
Yeah.
But he's likable. I like him.
Yeah.
I said it to Paul. I go, if it was anybody else, I'd be criticizing this, but I love it.
I love him. I think
he's a physical, old school, leading with my belly nose tackle.
I think your description is, was it you that said the, you just said the
most improved
unsung player?
Yeah.
I agree with that.
All right, Eric's going to go because Bill Belichick has a press conference at 2, so Eric's going to cover that. He's on his way out. Thanks for gracing us with your presence
today. I enjoyed it, Eric.
Good show, actually,
I enjoyed
it.
A rare
one. Thank you.
I'm being dead serious. There's no Andy-like shot that's coming.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it.
Maybe you need the full show.
You're like Edelman.
You need
to warm up a little
bit. When we ask you to just swoop in for the last 25 minutes, you don't find your stride. But when you come for the full show,
that's why
you're
I'm so good on the playbook when we step inside.
You don't want to know what I've heard about you on the playbook.
All right. One more call for the day. Tim in Pensacola. Oh, I dropped him.
Oh, that happened.
I hit the drop again.
Did you do it on purpose?
No.
Wow.
Tim, call back if you can real quick.
No, don't. We don't want to talk to you.
Scott writes in, can someone get Bill something for Christmas for his post-nasal drip? My God, it's bad enough that he won't answer a direct question at his press conference, but we have to listen to the his sinus. Every time I hear this primeval wailing in the middle of a reporter's question.
Can you imagine
what
the kid must have written?
Let's see. I know that Bill must also listen to PFW based on Paul telling us that Marcus Cannon probably would not see the field this year. He's been in more this
year than
Ocho,
injuries,
Ainsworth,
I said.
Taylor, Price, and Brandon Spikes combined.
Yeah, well, you obviously don't listen because that was an injury-related thing.
Talk about someone not letting me finish an email.
My God.
Does anyone have any idea why Roethlisberger was still out there as Alton Smith's tackling dummy at the end of the game last night? I don't know. I didn't see the end of the game.
Never saw one
play.
This
is two straight weeks, I think, that I've seen quarterbacks who shouldn't play. Sam Bradford, a week earlier, should not have played. Roethlisberger should not have played. I thought he wasn't going to play. I saw him leading his team out. He was high-fiving people with no helmet, and then he turns and walks, and he could barely walk. Now, maybe he's a drama guy. Maybe he sells the limp or something, but I don't think he should have been on the football field. And Paul was talking about he thinks it's because the Ravens lost.
I think the Ravens losing was the worst thing that could happen to Pittsburgh.
But you can't do that.
I think they weren't going to play him last night until they thought they had a chance to get the
number one seed. You don't have a mind of your own. You can't separate what you see in the guy and say, I know we need to win.
Yep.
He can't play.
Much rather be the number five seed with a healthy quarterback than the number one seed with a banged up one. And, you know, we'll see what ends up happening in the next couple of weeks. But now they're going to end up being the number five seed with a banged-up quarterback.
The worst of both worlds.
Because you got to figure if they sat him out the rest of the way, that would have been three straight weeks of rest. Chances are if he's not healthy then you were screwed anyway. Now Maybe he did something further to bother that. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Nate says, I've got a nice 42-inch TV, but HD cable isn't available in our mountain town. I can hook my laptop up to the TV and watch higher quality content via the internet. You must have a pretty good internet connection then if you can get HD over there. All right, well, okay.
All right, we found a reason.
And then quickly before I get to Tim, I was at the game and I saw the halftime dog and the shows, which were border collies. They were herding the goats into the small enclosure they had in the field. After that, I had no idea what the hell they were doing. And Sir Luck also says it was a cattle drive. I don't know how many cattle drives have monkeys. But anyway, Tim, what's going on?
Fred! You honor me. Look, I know we're out of time. We're saving the best for last. In fact, it's a good thing because for once I'm calling in with complete positivity. Last week I predicted the Patriots might lose. You said, Tim, I hope you're wrong, and I already hung up by that point. But I was saying, Fred, I hope you were right. And you know what? We won. We rule. And I also found out I got straight A's, which boosted up my GPA. My man's approval ratings are up. Life is good, and I thank you. I thank you all, Fred.
You must wash your professor's balls like you do mine.
Huh?
I'm only kidding. I said you must be doing favors for your professors like you do me.
Huh? Oh, my professor actually
sexual?
Can't wait to see me gone.
Oh, is that right? You're a troublemaker in class?
No, I'm
that's a big club.
Complaining about my grade.
Oh. Well, straight A's. That's really good.
Yeah. Well,
congratulations.
Anyhow, thank you. Well, I just want to thank Fred, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks, Tim. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. John Rook is here to get you into the Patriots playbook. Nitpick Tuesday. And
what is that?
Nitpick Tuesday.
Okay, it didn't sound like that.
That's what they do on Tuesdays.
No, I know what they do on Tuesdays. It didn't sound like you said nitpick.
Oh, I think I did. Anyway, so John is here, and John.
It sounded like nitpick to me, Fred.
Yeah.
Okay, my
yeah.
bad. I apologize. All right. All right. Okay. Stop beating up on me. All right.
We could nitpick on it, Paul.
I misheard.
So John will be continuing the Patriots talk. I didn't get to a lot of emails, John, so they're in the queue for you.
Awesome.
You can handle those. So if I didn't get to your emails, stay tuned. And then, of course, Pete Shepard will be gloating and reveling in the win at 4 o'clock.
So John will focus on the first quarter. Pete will ignore it entirely.
Pretty much.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.